Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we're all the scenes, we're footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly case.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee, hee King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. And people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound?
Yeah, that's that King Shaziz the Terrible guy. Maybe King Shaziz the Ruthless or Rotten or something like that. What do you think? I don't know. But anyway, I just had this question going through my mind because I've been watching society as it's been playing out, you know, keeping an eye on the news. And, you know, sometimes watching the news is painful. It's like, yeah, it's like watching paint dry or sitting in the back of the DMV waiting for your turn in line. You know, you got that number that says 3,962,472 trillion and a half. And so you, as soon as that number gets up, then you'll be able to get your stuff done. Or, you know, sitting in the library waiting for your turn on a computer or something like that, you know. That library, I suppose, wouldn't be too bad because you could go read a book. Anyway, watching the news or the debates and all the different political shows on there, you know, I'm thinking to myself, on one hand, this is a bread and circus kind of thing. It's a dog and pony show. But as I'm watching all this play out, of course, I would probably say, you know, I don't necessarily consider myself a Republican, but I lean more towards a Republican and conservative kind of view kind of thing there. And so when I see the Democrats doing what they're doing and been watching what they've been doing for years and, you know, getting frustrated at the lies and the crookedness and how the double standard in the law and all that kind of stuff. So I'm starting to see, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost kind of thing. But then I got to step back and I got to look, you know, because is it too good to be true that, you know, there might be some criminals going to jail or something like that? You know, is it too good to be true that we're moving towards world peace, potentially? Maybe the economy's really good and all that kind of stuff? You know, regardless of what you think right now, as far as whether the economy is good or it isn't good, whether we got real money or funny money, you know, I get it. You know, it's a Monopoly game. It's all Monopoly money, you know, and it ain't backed by gold anymore. I get all that. But putting all that aside, the illusion that everything seems to be going right, you know? It's like your favorite team winning the Super Bowl, which mine did, by the way. What do you think of that? Anyway, they did win the Super Bowl, but it only took them 50 years to get there. Kind of like it took this other situation 50 years in order to get back around to something like that. You know, when you're raised up to, you know, believe in justice and truth and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you find out somewhere along the line that maybe you weren't really, they didn't really tell you the truth about certain things like freedom and all that kind of jazz. So I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, is it too good to be true? Is everything playing out the way that, you know, I would hope it would, and everything's going to go well, and we're not going to have, you know, all this corruption anymore, and maybe somehow or another, you know, the people of the world are starting to come around to the bright side, you know, the light and coming out of the darkness. Well, maybe, maybe not. We did do a video, or a show about the dark web, and there's some darkness out there, believe me. Hopefully that's the minority of the people on the planet. I think for the most part, people are the good people of the planet. You know, there's a planet, Earth, flat plane, whatever you believe. I'm not trying to step on any toes here is what I'm trying to say here. Well, I don't care whether you're Democrat, I don't care whether you're Republican. Doesn't matter to me what your spiritual background is or nothing, but if you got any sense of morality or goodness in your heart and you love for one another and you want to see the world become a better place, I think that's what we're all rooting for. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, unless they're, you know, up there doing all kinds of crimes. It doesn't matter who there is in the Senate or the Congress. Any of that, you know, any of your parliaments out there, your committees or anything like that, as long as they're there doing an honest job of representation, that's what it's all about. See, a lot of folks don't even think we even need a government. We could be self-governed. That's fine. But if you're going to consent to a govern, to be governed, then you need to have a set of rules and it need to be adhered to, and they need to understand what their true place is in the situation. You know, they're your public servants, and that's in those words in itself, you know, they're there to serve the public. You know, they're there for the best interest. So I'm starting to see some things play out. Now there's folks on there, you know, because you know, Trump sounds like an average Joe kind of guy. Well, I like that. You know, he talks like you know, just a you and me kind. He don't talk like a president per se. And you know, when he basically holds the media, you know, accountable, you know, basically tells them that they're fake news and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've been saying they're fake news for years. I've been saying they've been lying out the side of their neck, saying one thing, you know, out their mouth and telling another out the other one, looking at you with a crooked eye, expecting you to believe whatever kind of, you know, stuff they're slinging at you. But I don't believe everything. Matter of fact, after my years of studying into conspiracy theories, I got to the point where I was like jaded by the whole system. I was skeptical. I didn't trust any of them. Maybe even to the extent of paranoid at some point. Regardless of all that, I just didn't trust the government. You know, from experience, you know, in different careers that I'd had and experience through my lifetime, I never trusted those folks in power because they didn't give me no reason to trust them. You know, a lot of cases, they actually gave me reasons not to trust them. So I'm looking at this world and I'm thinking the majority of all the people out there, they don't trust the mainstream media. And very few of them even actually trust the alternative medias. And, you know, they definitely don't trust the government. They don't trust the IRS, that's for sure. when you look into the stories of all these different agencies and the truth of the background, it gives you good reason not to trust. You know, we've been going down some rabbit holes for years and years. We've been studying about different types of conspiracies. We've been studying about, you know, all different subjects out there. Heck, probably even, I guess, guaranteed I even looked into Bigfoot, looked into aliens, looked into everything. Looked in, because when you look out here on the internet and you come across an interesting subject, there's an adventure or, you know, some sort of mystery to be solved. So, you know, you go down those rabbit holes, you start looking and you start talking, you start seeking the truth, and it's kind of hard to find the truth out there because you're getting all different types of stories. But now, moving right back up here to reality, when the news is on and when the, politicians are out there lobbying for your vote and your support and all that kind of stuff, and I'm stepped back and I'm looking at the big picture. See, I watch every single news channel out there. It doesn't matter. I don't agree with some of them. I don't agree with the others, you know. So I'm watching CNN, I'm watching MSNBC, I'm watching ABC, I'm watching Fox News. I'm watching them all, and I'm listening to the people out there. I'm listening to all the different alternative views and alternative opinions, some of which I don't agree with. I'm watching the protests, I'm watching the riots, I'm watching the different things out there, like the new coronavirus that they're talking about. I'm watching space-related things. I'm constantly absorbing information on a daily basis. But as I'm doing this, I'm sitting way back. I'm sitting way back on the hill, and I'm looking at this whole thing. I'm looking at it with some common sense and some logic, and things are appearing to me as if they're going our way, the average Joe's way, for once. You know, there's still some folks out there still, you know, preaching that you're a hating person, that, you know, because your color, that you're either a racist or whatever, or vice versa, you're a victim. And there's still people out there trying to push that. There's still people out there trying to stir that pot. But the further you get back and you look at the crowds that are gathering on this side over here, the side of goodness and the side of truth and justice and all that, you start to have to ask yourself the big question. Even though this is what I want to be occurring right now, is this too good to be true? Now, I'm not one to sit back and, take for granted that things are going well, because that's usually when they blindside you with the other. You know, hold up a shiny object at the right hand, and then when you're focused in on the right hand, they stick you in the jaw with the left, you know, and old snively whiplash reaches deep in your wallet and pulls out every last bit of credit card and cash you got, and maybe looks and sees if you got a gold tooth so he can snatch that as well as you're going down. That's society right there. That's what I'll keep an eye out for. Yeah, I guess they would say I'm paranoid. I live on 16 acres out in the woods, away from the majority of large populations. I like the peace and quiet out here. I like to, you know, make sure that I don't try to have any kind of interaction with government or anybody else. The furthest I get out into the world is when I start talking to you folks out here about situations going on in the world. And those times when I do venture out into the world, I make sure that I'm always going there with a wide open eyes and ears in order to keep myself and my family safe. Because we live in some crazy times. With that said, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I'm posing the question, is it too good to be true? You know, some folks think, yeah, it's too good to be true already because they've already got some sort of bias against, whichever candidate, but you're going to have to set that doggone stuff aside. Put down your Republican hat, put down your Democrat hat, put down your liberal hat, and step back here, take a deep breath, and take a peek out there and see what you see. Now, I'm seeing things that tell me, you know, hey, man, this is pretty awesome kind of stuff going on. But I was also warned about this, too, you know, in a book that a lot of people despise. You know, it said in the last day there would be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. It said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Wow. Well, you listen to Paul Harvey back in 1965. Take a look at the lifestyles of the people out there here in the year 2020. And you listen to all the different political views and ideologies and doomsday predictions. And you have to ask yourself, did somebody know something back then? Because they sure wrote something down in a book. And a man said something years and years ahead of time. Almost prophetic, I would say. But anyway, I'm not here alone, so I want to say hi to these two wonderful ladies that are here so far, and I think we're going to get joined by a third one here. How y'all doing there? We got Barbara.
Hey, I'm here, Barbara Three Crow. I'm here, everybody. Good to see you all out there.
And we also
I'm
got
here
Patty.
Too. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm here.
So, you know, what do you think of that little sort of rambling rant thing there? Is it too good to be true? I mean, things look like they're going our way, sort of. What do you think?
Well, I'll go first. This, I said to you earlier, you may call me paranoid, whatever. You may call me conspiracy wackadoodle. You may call me whatever. I don't know. But in these days, in this age, I'm skeptical of everything. With all the research and now all the rabbit holes I've been down with my sister Patty and on my own and so forth, and all that I've seen, and all that I have discovered, and all that I've come to realize, I'm very skeptical of. And I have said many times, is it too good? It's too good to be true. It just sounds too good. And you know, I want it to be true. I want these things that we're told are going to happen or whatever. Yeah, sure, I want them to be true. But I don't trust the authorities. I don't trust the system that tells us things. And I've learned that. And yeah, you said, you for years have been saying the news is fake news. Well, I had too. I've been saying that. And I don't know. I've always said there's not going to be a savior come to save us. They're going to put someone in that position where you're going to think they're God. And what's going on now is like, you know, this... The COVID-19 and was coronavirus, now they've changed the name, and what was that about? But I did a gematria on that, and that was kind of very interesting. Everything is purposeful. Everything is for a reason. There's nothing that's random. There's nothing by mistake. Everything happens for a reason. Everything. So I'm just looking at this stuff. I think it's important, so... when we hear something good by the authorities or so-called persons who claim authority or persons who are whatever, making determinations and decisions for we the people, I question that. I just sit back and I watch. I sit back and I observe, and I don't jump into, yay, we can rest on our laurels now. Yay, everything's going to be all right. Yay, we're going to be saved. No, I don't do that.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Now, when you watch the, I don't know if you actually watch the Democratic debates or anything, but I watched them, and you see everybody up there is basically candidates that are acting like ridiculous, almost as if they're deliberately trying to lose. Now, you know, I've watched a lot of all-star wrestling kind of thing. Back when I was a kid, I used to think that was real. All right, but then I realized that if you, with the laws of physics, if you hit a man in the head with a steel chair, he's going down. He probably ain't getting back up.
I think he's dead.
Yeah, so I have to sit back and I'm wondering, you know, because it's so ridiculous what's going on the Democrat side, and everything seems to be going perfectly on the other side of the fence, and I'm thinking, is this a big show? Are they all in it in cahoots with each other? You know, is this
just... Well, I feel they've always been, this is where I've come to terms with this, they've all been, that's why I say there's both sides of the same coin. You know, they've always been in cahoots with each other. It's a big show. they have to put on the show because they need the people to vote for them, so they'll say anything that may please the public, and yet they're in cahoots with each other. I haven't watched the Democratic debates. I just really, to me, it's just a waste of good energy.
Well, it's a clown show. It's a literal clown show.
Yeah, I've read a few little things, like I guess Bloomberg was severely trashed by Warren and Bernie. I mean, it's just a show. And if they're not attacking Trump, then they're attacking somebody on their panel, of course, and that's what they do. I don't think anybody's talking about the corporate lobbying in the government. Nobody is saying, I'm going to look into that. I'm going to attempt to put a stop to that. Well, you can't put a stop to that kind of stuff because it takes the House and the Senate to vote. There's so many corrupt people in the political arena on both sides, and so they can claim anything they want during these debates that they will do, that they'll set this up, they'll change that, they'll make it all better, blah, blah, blah. It's just going to be the same, folks. It's been the same since we started this country. It's just been the same. There's a good old boys club. Now there's a few women trying to step into the good old boys club. They're all billionaires. They're all got tons of money, and they have a club. We're not in the club. They don't care for us. They just want to say whatever they want to say to get a vote so that they can get more money and control. That's just my way I look at it. So it is too good to be true in many instances. We're told, I know I'm going on here a bit, but we're told that all the bad people, all the evil people are going to go to jail. You know what? I've seen a lot leaving political positions, some arrested CEOs, and so on and so forth, and people retiring before they would ordinarily. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of people being arrested, yes, but the top of the pyramid peoples that are really dirty so far, just going along, tooling along in their la-la lives, just doing whatever they want. I will believe it when it is there, right in our face.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right there.
When I see them walking off in chains and orange suits, if that's the trend, the orange suits, or it's going to be something different, then I will see. But you know what? It's not going to make much of a difference because there's so many that I don't know if it will ever will be free of these, of this evil, of this corrupt greed, and so on. So, go ahead, sis.
Well, I was just going to say that anyone who has ever paid any kind of attention to the political circuses that they put out, whenever there are debates or presidential elections, these debates, the talking points, all of these things are decided ahead of time, and each candidate does not write their own responses, does not write their own talking points. Those are done for them by their committee, by their people. The reason being is because they spy on each other and they say, well, this guy's going to be tackling this, so you're going to go and you're going to tear it down by saying this and this and this. This is how it usually goes. What we have now is a free-for-all of idiocy. It's a competition to say the most idiotic and ridiculous. Yeah, seriously.
I agree.
When was the last time on the Democratic debate forum have you heard someone say something of substance? It doesn't happen.
I don't know, have you noticed that, like the last election when Bernie was running for president, they stole the election from him to give it to Hillary? And now they're doing it again to give it to whoever?
Well, Bernie's playing along with this.
Yeah.
See, people think that poor old Bernie, No, Bernie made a lot of freaking money playing his part. And he's going to make a lot of money again. Bernie talks a lot about how terrible it is. He used to say it's terrible, these millionaires, we got to stop them. And then Bernie became a millionaire. So now he's saying the billionaires, we got to stop the billionaires. You know,
is it going to be all of these things next time?
Yeah, the thing of it is that what I see, I watch these comic things, and like the hearings for that we had here in the U.S. for the impeachment. There was nothing constitutional about it. There was nothing legal about it. It was in your face. I mean, they didn't hide it.
No.
They wanted you to see how crooked and lying and thieving that they were going to be. They refused to hand over testimony that was taken in secret, which is against the Constitution. They refused to hand that over. Then the people that they bring to prove their point are the very people who, during their testimony, said there was no proof. Yeah. Now, what sense does that make? Except for if you want your constituents to lose faith in your party. That is the only reason. And the fact that you have the Republicans who are just as crooked, there's no difference. These are money grubbing. They're backroom dealing. They've been doing it for forever. And here they're standing up taking the high road, and Trump is leading them all down the same path. And when it all comes out, this impeachment thing and all the drama, all the uprising that was, you know, promoted out there, the only thing it did was cause a bigger divide, make people more angry, but not angry enough. It wasn't angry enough. So what is the next thing that happens? Oh, Virginia, the governor who was charged with embezzlement and misogyny and all of these other crimes, who put the bill out there for late-term and post-birth abortions, decided then that he was going to make Virginia gun-free, that he was going to ignore the Second Amendment. Oh my gosh, then you have hundreds of thousands of people show up in protest, and the news media is saying it's going to be a bloodbath, and nothing happened. Nothing yep. happened. And so all the people were up in arms, and now you've got the right saying the left has got to go, and the left is saying the right has got to go, and the people in the middle are saying everybody's got to go.
Yeah, mostly the politicians that's been in there for 30, 40 years, they definitely got to go.
They all been in there. I mean, it's ridiculous to...
They all live in mansions, they all have security guards, and they're behind their little fences. They make a lot of money, plus they're in... They do things on the side, you know, trading and lobbying and payoff and so on. It's all dirty politics all across the board. I think during the impeachment and those persons you were talking about, the so-called witnesses, every one of them, I think the most used sentence was, well, I assumed, I assumed, I assumed.
Well, James Comey already wrote a book about it. And he's the one that was you know, well, lying over the whole deal.
Bolton wrote a book, Follow the Money, my friend.
Oh,
Follow the Money. Comey lied. Stone lied, they said. Well, Stone got 9 years. Well, now that's all. That's another show. That's another circus. Look here. Don't look over there. This is what we're dealing with. This is all the show. This is all deliberate. This is all to get everybody crazy, to get everyone pitted against each other. Now you have this corona COVID virus heading all over the world, literally heading all over the world, and now people are fighting, beating up Asian people, like here in my area, about, you know, 50 miles away. An Asian woman was attacked just because she's Asian by some white folks, and of course, now this has become a race issue.
Man.
They're tagging it on as a race issue.
Well, you know, the good thing that we can do is we can play the what-if game. You know, I do that a lot. I look at the way things are and I say, okay, what if it went this direction? What if it went that direction? Which one is more plausible? And as I look at the what if position of plausibility, I see exactly what we've been talking about for years. Nothing has changed. The play and the agenda are in full force, and we are being herded. We are being called. We're getting ready to go to the slaughterhouse. That's how they do it.
Well, I want to make.
They don't treat us any different than they do than we treat our cattle and our other livestock.
I want to make an addition to what you were saying there, Patty. Because if you ever go out and watch all these mini series with a villain in there, especially like the Jericho. If you guys haven't seen that series Jericho, go watch that, because that's a telling story. But the point I'm trying to get to is that they always make the villain look like a good guy, and then maybe he'll start looking a little bit bad there for a minute, and then he makes him look like a good guy, but in the process they're doing exactly the kind of show that you're seeing with the Democrats having a clown show, the Republicans having all this success, all the crowds running towards that side of the deal, and with all the protests going on out there, everybody with common sense and some decency don't want to be part of that ridiculousness going on out there in the streets. They're supposedly protesting Save the Planet, and they're out there, defecating in the streets and throwing trash everywhere. How's that saving the planet? It's disgusting. But either way, you watch it, while one hand they're talking about peace, and the next hand they're taking padlocks and hitting people in the heads with them, and hitting people with boards, and they're busting up stuff, you know, and calling themselves anti-fascist while using fascist techniques to try to shut the other side up. Well, obviously that's going to make the other side more resolve to going towards, it's almost like we're being funneled into this one big crowd over here. Does any of this make sense to you ladies, what I'm trying to say here? It's like we're being funneled into it. Because this is what we want. The picture looks good over here. We got a good economy. We're talking about peace. We're talking about, you know, right and wrong and all this kind of stuff. And so it's like on this side over here, they're deliberately doing all this stuff to make themselves look as bad as possible to shuffle us all into one crowd. What do you think?
Yeah. And what's going to happen is both parties are going to collapse. That's the only way that it's going to happen that I see, and it's going to happen in everybody's country. The parties, the governments will collapse. We're looking at the initiation of the global collapse right now. This is all, everything leading up to this point with this virus has been prep. Now we're in, I do believe, the active role of collapsing the global economy. Once that happens, every government becomes default. Every government cannot provide the infrastructure, the ability to promote agencies to step up and help people. All of that will fall to the dust. Just like you're seeing in China. When you look at China, they're not doing anything for the people. All the agencies have shut down. They're not moving product. They're not filling shelves. They're not doing anything. The whole economy is shut down. That will come here. It will come there where you are and everywhere else, because it's the only way to bring out that pretty, pretty box with that beautiful bow on it and tell you, look, we'll give you this if you just move to that next pasture over there. Yeah. And it's a pretty box with a beautiful bow, so you know it must be good, right?
Oh, sure.
So just don't open it until you get to the other pasture.
Well, you and I called this for, I don't know, a couple of years now. We said there's got to be something big worldwide to take down everything, just knock everything to its knees. There's got to be something, and now we're looking at this, the COVID, as that. Regardless of who planted this, who was it, a foreign agent to attack China, because China is a problem. They're not playing the game. They're not playing the deep state's game. They're not playing Trump's game. You have all these variables going on here. Now we have this worldwide coronavirus. It's very, moving along. Now there's over 2,000 deaths. There's 76,000 cases. The State Department ignored health officials' warnings against flying coronavirus-infected evacuees back to the United States alongside healthy patients, right? Now 18 of them, the healthy ones, now have the virus, and that's now struck 35 Americans. We have deaths happening in Iraq. Was it Iran? I don't know. In South Korea. This is going all over the world. Yes, everything's slowing down to a standstill. The shipping is, you know, trade, shipping, everything, parts, clothing, very important things that people use on a regular basis. It's happening all over the world. It's got to collapse because then they can set it up. Like you said, here's the nice package in a boat. Do what we say and everything will be all right. Now there's a vaccine. Suddenly there's a vaccine. It takes years to get a vaccine and, you know, tons of money and years to get a vaccine for this so-called new, you know, pandemic. And so now that's coming up available, supposedly. If you take this vaccine, you will be all right. Line up like good little sheeple. If you get on this bus and we'll take you to a FEMA camp now, you will be safe there. You know, don't get on the ship, don't get on the bus, don't get on the train, but it's all part of the plan. This is where we are today.
I want to add another layer of already confusion into this deal. I'm putting in a link to a YouTube channel called the Modern Rogue. Now, the reason why I'm suggesting that you go take a look at these folks over there isn't because I necessarily think it's the greatest site in the world, but there's I've been watching these guys for a while, and when you're talking about the coronavirus, and you're talking about, you know, like how they want maybe one world government, a digital currency, that kind of thing, under the guise that it could actually be hazardous to exchange hand-to-hand paper dollars or, you know, cash, because you might get the disease. But one thing to literally factor in that a lot of people haven't really talked about is what these guys did. You would be surprised at how ridiculously simple it is to clone your credit card and steal your information. Using your phone, using your, even if you go get a chip in your hand, that they can literally clone that chip that's in your hand. As soon as you run it across the scanner, it can print out another replica of it. You can buy the equipment to do that on eBay. You can steal credit cards all day long without nobody even having a clue that you done stole their credit card until you start going on a spending spree. So if you wanted to crash, let's say you wanted to crash a society, and so that you could round everybody into one section, move them all into a one world government kind of issue, a one world system. Well, you talk about a virus that's running amok, a pandemic, and then you say, look, this is out of hand, all these people are dying, and so we need to have everybody implanted with this sanitary chip so that you don't even have to touch anything. You just put your hand across the scanner, and it'll automatically deduct the money up out of your account. Well, when that happens, at any given instant, suddenly they could say, oh, sorry, we went bankrupt. Bam, you're broke. Does that sound like a plausible theory there? That could be a potential reality, that's how you get all the people, you know, you control their money. If you control their food, if you control their water, you control the electricity and everything like that, they're going to do what you say. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know that just recently, Fidelity, they can't... Now, this is the thing, you know, they know when they've been hacked. They know. They know when they got a program error. Yeah. And usually program errors only show up after you've updated your program or something on the startup. And they usually don't go to online until they get that figured out. But anyway, Fidelity just went down the other day, I guess, and wiped all these people's accounts to zero.
Oh, see? And, I wasn't laughing at you, Patty. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wasn't at you. I was laughing because Yolant said Shaziz is giving instructions on stealing credit cards.
I know. I see that.
Hey, listen. So, remember I said that in China they're spraying a disinfectant like it looks like fog. They're spraying so much. So, what the heck?
Yeah.
If you don't die from the coronavirus, you'll die from the, you know, from the insecticide. Well, guess what? More than hundreds of wild animals dropped dead near coronavirus epicenter in China after workers sprayed too much disinfectant to prevent coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty crazy.
You remember back when the chemtrails first come around and everybody was talking about chemtrails and everybody was like looking at them cross-eyed and saying, those are contrails, those are regular jet trails, those aren't nothing, but now it's like right out in the open. And I said back then, I even did a doggone video about it called Poison Skies, but I said back then, I said, it ceases to become a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky. And that's the truth. You know, imagine being a bird. You're flying along, and you fly into a cloud of that aluminum, barium, and crazy stuff. And suddenly you suck that in. You can't breathe. You can't fly. And so you fall up out of the deal. And they was trying to say at the time that it was fireworks that killed all them birds. Really? I've been blowing off fireworks since I was a child. I never seen birds falling out of the sky.
Well, we had that happening 2012. When 2012 occurred, that was the beginning of mass deaths of birds falling out of the sky. If you guys remember that. And then there were shellfish, there were turtles, there were all kinds of things, and not only in the oceans but in ponds and various other things. These things, thousands of creatures, started to die.
See? I need to get back to Patty's deal about the fidelity thing. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Patty. That was kind of rude there, but I started laughing. I thought you heard me laughing, but me and Natalie's here with us, by the way. We're laughing because of what Yolante said. She said, I'm going to give information, instructions on how to steal credit cards. But it's true. You can go out there on doggone eBay and you can buy the equipment for dirt cheap that you can clone credit cards. You can even take your hotel key, you know, those credit card hotel keys. And you can steal somebody's credit card information and put it on your hotel key and then go out there to the ATM and make you some bucks. Man.
Dang. Ziz? No. Here's a disclaimer, folks. Ziz is not actually teaching you how. He's just telling you where to go to learn.
He cannot
be held accountable.
So you really want to put a chip in my hand after me seeing those videos? Somebody go steal my information. I'm just trying to point it out. I mean, cold or no cold, you're going to have to give me a dollar bill if I'm selling you something, because I ain't...
For real, I'm like, can we talk about how nasty money is already?
Yeah.
Like, that is the nastiest thing you're going to touch in your life, and you're worried... Like, no, it's already gross.
Do you know that in law enforcement that drug dogs have actually hit on people's wallet
because of their money?
Because their money was, like, you know, part of drug money. Maybe somebody sniffed some coke with it, and the dog smelt it, you know?
For real. Like, I always hear people saying, like, oh, I don't carry cash, because it's so much safer to have a credit card, because if someone steals your wallet, you know, the cash you can't get back, but at least the card you can, you know, can shut it down, which is understandable. But at the same time, like, there's the same gas station north of here that has been like 12 times in the last 3 months people complaining because their credit cards got scammed on the gas pumps.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's so easy.
They have a device where you can literally walk past somebody, and it's basically the size of a cell phone, and you can scan their wallet and pick up the information
with
off
the little
RFID
freaking chips. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But what is this showing us? It's showing us that they're creating the problem,
mm-hmm.
which is these cards are no better than cash. The reaction is, hey, my card got stolen. Hey, somebody's ripping me off. Hey, somebody better stop this. Oh, we can't stop it because these hackers, they just go from one thing to the other. Oh, well, we've got a solution. We're going to go biometrics. And you can get a chip, and that way... only you can use that chip. We'll also use your iris identification, because that can't be duplicated.
Yep.
You know, and this way we'll control all your records, your health, your shopping, your babysitting bills, everything that you do. We'll have in this one account, this one file of you, and so all you got to do is show somebody that chip. And whatever needs to be done will be done. Oh, but, now, you better be obeying the laws And we will have different laws because we can't let you go around running amok like you do. Look what you've done. You've made a mess of the whole world. You've made a mess of your countries. You can't get along. So, if you don't abide by these new rules that we're going to put out, we're going to turn off your chip.
That's it. And we started off with a virus. Give everybody something, which we already have the vaccine for because we're the ones that built it in our lab for bioweapons. And so we're not really worried about it unless for some reason, for some unforeseen circumstance, it becomes a super bug and gets completely out of control, even theirs, which is possible. You can't tamper with nature without having that apocalyptic possibility. But best case scenario for them is that, you know, they give us all a disease and say, we'll sell you the cure, but you have to have a chip to buy it.
It's a corrupt cycle.
I'm telling you, it's funny, but it's not, you know.
And if you think they wouldn't go that far and wouldn't be that cruel, look at today how many people die because they don't have insurance and no doctor will see them, no pharmacy will give them their medicine. Happens all the time. All the time. Without a virus. You know? The system is geared for one thing, control. And they don't want to have to babysit you. They're either going to want to kill you or put you to work. Those are the only two options you got.
I got in a car wreck, and I'm normally 100% covered by the VA. And so when I got in a car wreck, because there was insurance involved, the VA flat out refused to treat me because there was insurance involved. So I had to, it took me about 3 months before I could actually get outside of the initial emergency visit, which, you know, that price comes down on me. But it took me 3 months to get any kind of treatment for an auto accident because of that red tape that there was insurance involved. So that's how big the money makes a difference in the healthcare industry. What do you think of that? You don't know everybody jump in the mic at once. You
well,
might check
I, have, I haven't heard from Sis.
I don't know what you're talking about, that's why.
Oh.
I'm still on the coronavirus. I'm looking at stuff going on in that arena. I'm just still looking at the claims of... And I want to say that I think, again, there are certain... Mainstream media is not really covering this the way they should be.
Well, are we even getting the truth of the actual numbers of people who've already died from it? Because last I heard, there's like 600 in China that died. And there's like several million.
There's 2,000 people in China that have died.
Today, my wife came to me because she heard on Facebook about this coronavirus and about buying things from China and Taiwan. And she had a package coming in from Taiwan. She wanted to know whether or not Taiwan was part of China. Actually, Taiwan's actually part of us, U.S., anyway, in our territory, but China wants it back. And
they do want it back.
Yeah, but they're not going to get it. But either way, regardless, that's neither here nor there. But that's the kind of concern that you could get a package in the mail from, you know, the Asians over there from, and you end up getting a disease.
Well, that's why people in different countries in the world are not accepting shipping containers from China. So they're, you know, but they. What I was saying was, the mainstream media is not covering this as usual because, you know, there's a reason why they're not covering it, or if they're covering it, they're giving fake information. So this was 10 hours ago. China's Wuhan city has killed, well, at least 2,236 people and infected over 75,000, and that's just in China. And now there are deaths in other parts of the world that we are aware of as well. And I was listening to a video of a doctor in China who basically was talking about the levels of deaths there, quite serious. And you have two deaths in South Korea. And they're not all old. There were two doctors in Wuhan treating patients that were in their 30s, and they're both dead. from this coronavirus. So it's not necessarily that they're old people. We did notice that they're not children. You know, they're not talking about children unless they're keeping that quiet. We don't know. But everything I'm reading about this, I'm looking for more and more links and to getting to, for instance, this link I'm talking about here is actually out of China. And so I think you have to be very careful about where you're getting your sources. We all do, you know. There are people, in, if you want to say, in our arena, like the conspiracy arena, that are, you know, working to really track down the truth in these things, and they are talking with people in China, you know, who are there, various other things like that. So I'm just saying, and right off the bat, even people in China, like this one doctor, had said that they're not telling them the amount of deaths.
Well,
they're keeping this secret.
You want to know how jacked up society already is? If you go, I went to Google coronavirus, and I actually came up with a whole bunch of coronavirus pranks. People, you know, faking an outbreak in public. And man, I just have to wonder, why would people do that? Literally, why would you go in there and, you know, you just got a couple guys in a one of them toxic waste suits, and they're carrying a body out and all that kind of stuff. But is that's not even remotely funny if it's a serious incident. But there's video after video of people pranking.
I've seen I think it was in Taiwan. I just lost that thread because I've been looking at it. There was a wedding. You know, they have weddings where about you have 50, 60, or whatever, 100 people getting married on the same day. They're all wearing masks, and there's a shot of all the people, the wedding people getting married, with kissing each other with the face masks on, and that's in Taiwan. Now, I question this even. The WHO, the World Health Organization, declared this virus a global health emergency on January 30th, okay? I'm still questioning, is this a game? Is this real? Even though I'm listening to the guy in Hong Kong, the doctor in Hong Kong, who's stating that this is real in many instances, but now, okay, so it's also a targeted infectious disease. It's also a targeted, it seems, for mostly male Asians, right? So, but people, Americans who were on that prince's ship, now they have the coronavirus. I'm looking at the deaths of those type of people, okay, as compared to the Asian deaths. So that's why I'm wondering, okay, this is part of the game. Now, what is it, the game? Well, it's the economy, and it's also targeted, we could say, right? And China has been not playing fair. China is leading in the country, in the world, pretty much, in the economic you know, arena with shipping and their products and so on and so forth. So there's something else going on here. And just to, you know, look at the statements of how many deaths and so on, so we shouldn't worry. Oh, it's only a handful of people, so we should not worry. Then you have WHO declaring it a global health emergency and others as well. And we see it spreading. So I'm just still in that, is this too good to be true zone,
yep.
You know, about this even, right? So they're talking about, 20 cities now have travel restrictions in China. You're talking over 60 million people. And now in the United States, people are also quarantining themselves. It's all over in North Korea, South Korea. I don't know about North. We question that, right, sis? Were there any signs?
No information.
But in Iraq, okay.
Iran.
And that's a country that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Iran's a big problem country, isn't it? They don't play by the rules.
Well, you know what's weird too, sis? Is that this is the World Health Organization, and all the MSM is shouting about how virulent, how the mortality rate is terrible, and how bad this is a pandemic and stuff. And then you've got places like the state of Washington that admitted to testing 25 people for coronavirus, but they refused to test 712 people who were at high risk and possible carriers. In the state of Florida, this is crazy, the state of Florida, this is for a pandemic, folks. This is the reaction of government officials in the state of Florida. They're now concealing the test numbers from the public. And then the reason they're giving, okay, let me see, let me get here. It says,
well, it's privacy. It's a law about your privacy, right? Medical
well,
privacy.
No, but it doesn't, yeah, but that doesn't fly in the face of a pandemic. That rule no longer applies. And besides that, they don't even have to tell you who the people are.
That's right.
They just need to give you the numbers of the people and the areas of the outbreak. But what they're saying is the state officials say they can't disclose how many people have been tested for the virus. The Surgeon General of Florida, Scott Ripkes, said the Florida Department of Health is not authorized to publish the number of people in the state being tested for the virus out of privacy concerns. But they said publishing aggregate numbers without any personally identifiable information doesn't violate that law. Then, wait. Then he says they don't have to because the coronavirus isn't airborne like Zika. He says, first of all, what does the airborne argument have to do with this initial claim that no aggregate data can be released? It has nothing to do with it. Secondly, the coronavirus isn't airborne as he claims, then why is every other scientist and doctor in the world warning that it's airborne? And how did the coronavirus infect over 500 passengers on the Diamond Princess cruise? Unless they were all locking lips together, you know?
Exactly.
Just saying.
All right, so what the heck? You got people pranking about the coronavirus in Canada. You got them in India. You got them in Pakistan. All over the doggone world, people are running around pranking each other, acting like they're sneezing on each other.
Spitting on each other.
Yeah.
The point I did want to make, though, is that because they're not giving out these numbers, we don't know if it's true or not. We don't know what's true again or not. There's no information. Therefore, we can't say it's a pandemic what they call it, a bloom in that area, because we don't have any real numbers. It might be one person. It might be none people. You know?
Black swan event.
Yep.
Some, right? Again, we have to proceed. Okay, here's how I feel. We have to proceed with caution with the information, but I do have a sense that this is basically deliberate, okay? And it is killing people. Basically, globally, it has killed at least 2,249 people. And that's not including Wuhan. Okay, so I just feel that we have to be aware and alert and take care of ourselves, you know? And I was listening to that video you sent at SGT, I think it was, or that guy who was interviewing someone who sounded like a paranoid wackadoodle, OCD, you know, what do they call it? Compulsive, you know, what do they call it? Excessively compulsive, where you wash your hands every 2 minutes and so on and so forth. But you know what? He's not paranoid. He's smart and wise. If you're going outside in the public, and we do this too, we come home, we wash our hands. I have wipes in the car. I've always done this, first of all. And I'm always able to have not gotten the flu and so on and so forth when everybody around me would be dropping. Now we have something on a level that we don't really know so well what it is. If it is a bioweapon, that's quite serious. If it is targeted, or if the papers or whatever, the news is saying, well, it's targeted to Asian people, well, so then you don't have to worry. But yet other people who are not Asian are also getting it and quite ill. So I'm just saying, for us, I think we have to be aware and do some wise preparation and not panic, of course, but also, like we're saying, is this too good to be true, or is that, you know, is this fake, is this real? I'm just in that mode. I'm questioning everything these days, and I'm also just keeping my eye on this, that's all.
Do you remember Ebola and the swine flu, a.k.a.
Yeah.
The pig flu? And
well, AIDS,
bird
Ebola,
flu.
Zika, hantavirus, all these things were actually, believe it or not, bioweaponry.
Well, I believe it. And see, that's the thing, man. The military-industrial complex sit out there and make all kinds of money making this stuff. And, you know, regardless of public safety or not, of course, they make it. They got the antidote to it as well. But do you see how that would tie into, if you was a conspiracy theorist, how it would tie into the medical industry being able to make a lot of money on selling drugs and vaccines?
Well, on the pharmaceutical industry, yeah. You know, this is going to make them a lot of money. Plus, it makes a lot of money for these labs that study these viral things, that, you know, the indicators of possible pandemics, labs make a lot of money, millions of dollars they get grants for. So it's a big money maker, you know. And meanwhile, we know that they have done tests on the public through our government and other governments. They've tested things on us that, you know, it's like you got to think, well, this is awful. But, you know, I'm watching this video here with this army of drones deployed across China to disperse the disinfectant that just basically dropped, you know, hundreds and hundreds of birds and animals. And it's disgusting. I mean, they're spraying this. Now, think of that. They're dispersing this disinfectant for a coronavirus. How is that going to change it? How is that going to help? If this is a pandemic, if this is, you know, bio warfare, well, and yet they're spraying the people to death and the animals besides.
I also wondered whether or not in the chemtrail conspiracy world where, you know, they would actually use that type of method to force vaccinate huge populations. You know, they said they was using it to combat climate change, global warming, and climate disruption, whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. Regardless, spraying crud in the air is not a good idea. It's got to come down somewhere. And
well, praying, it's pesticides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kill off all the honeybees, and then you ain't got no pollination. They have to know that this has got to have some sort of side effect, but they don't necessarily care whether it's got a side effect or not. You know, it's like these drugs from the pharmaceutical. The Food and Drug Administration allows certain drugs to go through, even though they might have a list as long as your arm that are worse than the actual deal that you're being treated for, and it's only treating it, it's not necessarily curing it. And if you come out with anything that says alternative, you know, to cure, you know, something, well, then suddenly the Food and Drug Administration is looking at you like you're a criminal because you said, you know, hemp seed oil is good for you or whatever, you know? It's crazy. This whole entire system is just beyond crazy. So, you know, it opens up a whole lot of questions. And what are we supposed to think? Here's the thing. What are we supposed to think? The mainstream news has been telling us about plagues. The mainstream news has been telling us about famine. They've been telling us about wars and rumors of wars. They've been telling us about everything out there to keep us quite literally living in fear. And, you know, you got folks out there that are basically like that one that the video that I've posted for everybody, the YouTube channel, Modern Rogues. They do everything from picking locks to stealing credit cards to all kinds of things that could be used for criminal activities, but they're just, you know, supposedly into the security business to test security to see whether or not you can break into a network or whatever, you know. And they do it in an amusing way. So, like, we're teaching everybody how to be criminals. And, heck, whenever I went to the police academy, they basically explained how you make methamphetamine. So what if I turned to the dark side? I could become a chemist. I don't want to do that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, so it's not... Somebody also questioned China... China did this to themselves for whatever. And why would they crash their own economy? That just doesn't make sense. No. They've got the biggest, most powerful economy. No, this was... I don't feel that energy there around that. They didn't do this to themselves. I kind of, like, feel that when Xi Jinping said the demon has been unleashed upon us, that he was speaking right, and that this was a foreign agent. I don't know who the foreign agent is. It could be the deep state, because they still want to try to take over the world, you know, and so on. And or Trump could be very well involved. His minions could be very well involved, because, you know, he's making noise about China's what is that? God, my mind just went blank. The new technology.
Oh, 5G?
5G, because they're selling 5G all over the world, and they're actually pressuring people to take the 5G. And Trump is against China's 5G. He wants his own 5G. He said that China's is dangerous. Well, I agree, but also, so what? Is he has a better 5G?
I don't know.
I don't trust that either. I'm just saying, I don't think China planted this themselves. I think somebody did it to them, and look at what's happening. The economy all over the world is going down. That, to me, is what this is all about. This is to take everything down throughout the world, so those in charge and authority can basically reset everything so that they have the control over the people who are terrified, falling apart, and they have no food on the shelves. They have no gas. They have nothing coming in through the shipping and the trade and all that. It's all done. Now they're going to come in and make it all better. That's what this, I feel, is the One World Order, Agenda 2130. Say whatever you want. That's what I feel.
If you go back in time and you look up Gaddafi, you remember he was wanting to unite all of Africa. He was wanting to make a big waterway from, out further into, so they could irrigate the farmlands down there, and he started telling the rest of the world that he wasn't going to pay in cash. He didn't want paid in cash for the dollar. He didn't want dollar anymore. He wanted paid in gold for his oil. Well, suddenly he went from being a CIA friend to a bad guy. All right, and then of course they whacked him. Well, if you go around the world and you look at all these different oil nations, oil-rich nations out here that pretty much went down the same path, you start to see a trend that anyone who came up against the petrodollar didn't fare so well. Now, with China's economy being as strong as it is, was at least, and looking like they were up and coming, well, you could see where that could potentially be a reason why some foreign actors might want to, throw some stuff up in there. Because if, like I mentioned earlier, my wife came to me and asked me if I thought she would be safe getting a package from Taiwan because of this deal, going on in China that she's been hearing about on Facebook or whatever. And so that kind of deal would start to get people where they'd be looking on eBay to see. They wouldn't buy anything from China. China makes a lot of money off of eBay and other places like other places like that. Different places where internet marketing. They make a lot of money. I buy electronics from China all the time because they sell them cheap and they're pretty good products, and they used to get to you. It'll take a little bit longer, but if I was in fear that I was going to get a disease from China because I bought a product from them, can you see how that would affect their economy, their market over there, just by doing that? What do you think? Man, that sudden moment of silence.
We're thinking.
Well, does that sound plausible? You do that, and everybody hears about this virus, outside of the knuckleheads all over the world making pranks about having a virus. If this turned out to be a real deal, then you did, and it was done on purpose to basically get people afraid to either go visit as a tourist over there or to buy any products from them.
Well, it came about during the height, just the beginning of one of their biggest festivals in China. Okay, this suddenly appeared. So it just dropped, it just put a stop to one of the biggest tourist attraction in China for one of their holidays. I don't know which one it was, but it happened just in that moment. And so they put the brakes on this big festival where people came from all over the world, actually. So I'm just saying, it's hard to wrap your mind around people doing what we talk about, that they're doing. It is. You know, I mean, I think the majority of us have faith in humanity, you know, and we can't wrap our minds around that this is a planned, you know, biowarfare. Whether China leaked it out of that lab itself, whether it was a mistake or an accident, that has happened, by the way, in Wuhan. Did have 3 prior leaks of viruses out of that bio lab right there in Wuhan in the past. But, okay, this is on a level that was, you know, completely different than those other leaks. This is going worldwide.
This was level 4, whereas the other leaks were not.
That's right. And this is going worldwide. So it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that somebody would actually do this, but it's hard to wrap your mind around, you know, the Tuskegee tests on the black, army men there. It's hard to wrap your mind around the, the government, the CIA, you know, with the experiments that they've done on their own people.
Governments kill millions of people every year, and China has always been known.
It's hard to wrap your mind around it, right, sis?
Yeah, but the thing of it is, too, you know, China just did have to pull out of the hat, I'm trying to remember the number, I think it's 7.5 billion, because they're out of money.
Yeah, that's right.
Because their economy has crashed. They are in default, yeah. They are in default. They've borrowed 7.5 billion or printed up their little numbers or whatever, but it's not even enough to make a dent in the recovery process of this virus. It's not enough to support this virus. They're refusing aid from everyone except for the World Health Organization. That is suspect in itself, because the World Health Organization gets its aid from every other country. So if these countries are willing to go in and help, it would be crazy for you to say no. What reasoning would you have? I don't trust you, but I trust you to provide me with the stuff through a third party, you know. So this is what we've got going on. They're not letting people in there. So they're doing whatever they're doing. They're going to run it through its course. Then, when China is defunct, the rest of the governments, the rest of the economies will simply, they can't survive because, especially here in the U.S., what does China provide us? They provide us with medical and pharmaceutical goods. The major supplier. They are the major supplier of goods to the world. And that's just a few things that are necessary and essential that they provide us. So these things stop. They're not coming over anymore. We don't have the facilities here to produce these goods, especially if we were in a pandemic situation. Where do we get the money from?
The other thing is we have a very large Asian population. Well, they're all over the world, but I'm saying here in the States, we have a very large Asian population in different parts of our country here. And so if this is targeted to Asian people, let's say, this is what it seems to be, suggesting, our medical system would not be able to, basically, they would just fall apart too. If you have an influx of all these patients, just what happened in Wuhan, the hospitals, the doctors, they just couldn't handle it. They had to build 2 other hospitals, which are like prisons, basically, and doctors were falling dead left and right.
I'm trying to tell you.
The Gaz wants you to talk about the gematria.
Gematria.
What you found out about that.
Okay. Well, it was interesting, certainly. Gaz and I got into a deep conversation, and the other night, but I have to look at this because it was like
the number 666.666.
That was only a part of it.
That was only
a part of it. That came after. So I did a gematria while we were talking. I did a gematria first on the word coronavirus. Okay. And so what came up was, let me see, let me find this here. The coronavirus was time to say goodbye, demonic martial law, secret diary of Trump, the real Jesus is, see my brain is frying, the axis of evil, people for the ethical treatment of animals, I hear you call my name, he is the resurrection, cats shall run the fourth plague, which is interesting because they eat cats in China. Right, that's interesting. But it went on to say various other words that were kind of like, you know, concerning, and so on. So then I did, well, I don't know, there was Satan in here somewhere. War Games, The Dead Code, so on. But anyway, then I did a gematria on what the new term was, the COVID, right? COVID-19. Well, there was really nothing. There was nothing like, you know, time to say goodbye. It was nothing about demonic martial law. It was nothing about my brain is frying, the axis of evil. And, you know, you can look at these things. You say, well, they don't really mean anything. It's just kind of like a little game we play. Let's do a gematria, right? And then you and I, Gaz, were talking about the amount of deaths, right, that we had been noticing. And you kind of did the numbers with, we kind of figured, I think it was something like 300 people every 3 weeks were dying, right? And you did it. You did the numbers on that. And then they came up, was it 3 times 6? 6, 6, 6? And, right, sis? After you did the numbers.
Yes, 666.666667.
Right. And that was kind of creepy. That's what... So we were just, you know, looking at that. That's why you wanted me to talk about that, right?
Just, yes, but I think it was Gaz who got the numbers.
Yeah, he got the numbers because we were. I said I don't do numbers. I said you do this. You do the numbers. I said do 300 people dying every 3 weeks for a whole year and see what it would be. So he did the calculations and that's what it came out. It was just a random number I chose. You know, just saying.
Well, I tell you what, this whole doggone thing, just, that's why I have to say, step back and look at the big picture. Is it too good to be true? Things seem to be going your way. But, I don't want everybody in this world to get complacent. What's that, where everybody gets comfortable with everything, everything's going all right, and then suddenly, bam, you get blindsided? That kind of thing? I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but how stupid could people be? You watch the doggone Democratic convention, and none of these folks are look like even remotely smart enough to be presidential. They don't even talk like it, and the things that are coming out of their mouth are just pure ridiculous. So it's either they really are that ridiculous, or it's a show. And then on the other side, everything seems to be going right.
Okay, and you know what? I'm sorry, but Jerry posted in caps, I guess she wants us to identify what she's written here, only the very weak, immunocompromised elderly are the ones who have died, 400 people, that's what she says. Well, okay, so we have read differently, okay, and I said that there were two doctors in Wuhan in their 30s who died, okay, and even the ones in Iran were not old people, and we have read in many areas, and even coming out of Hong Kong, a doctor there, who I was listening to his video, was saying that the numbers are, they're being lied to about the numbers of death, and so it's worldwide over 2,000 plus people that have died from this. So, and I do feel that it is important that we build our immune systems, and I believe that for now, I don't know how long, our immune systems have been deliberately compromised. We know that, right, sis? I mean, we've been talking about this for so long through the vaccinations, through the fluoride, through the chemtrails, through various other things, through pesticides, through the food, for generations. You know, so this is what we, I feel, have to pay attention to. Regardless of how many people have died, don't you think, to have a better life, you know, health and well-being for yourself and your children and grandchildren, that we should be doing something about our immune systems, right? Hello.
It's like my brain just kind of stopped and everything.
Okay.
No, I'm just trying to absorb all this stuff because you got serious news out there, you got pranksters out there, you got different stories coming.
If you don't want people, if you want to control people, you give them certain types of news and information. If you don't want people to be concerned about their immune system and take precautions so that they don't get sick, well, you just say, well, there's nothing to be worried about. You know, let's not panic. There's only 400 people that are dead and they're old. Who cares? You know?
Well, I get what you're saying, but I'm saying you got folks out there that really make a light of it. You got folks out there that are like really apocalyptic about it, and you got people that are hiding, you know, the numbers.
Truth.
And the truth.
Well, you know, there we are again. Again, we're back to find your balance, right?
Yep.
Be intelligent about this. Be wise. Be smart. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Pay attention to what you're hearing and reading and what the news is telling you, especially the mainstream media. You know, I mean, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could, you know, throw a pencil across the room. But I'm just saying, where are we getting our news from? There is an agenda here on all levels. Look, I think we're aware of that. Something happened, and it's spreading across the world. You have over 75,000 people now and over 2,000 people worldwide dead due to this. Something is obviously going on. The other thing we have, I know we keep repeating ourselves, but the other thing that's going on is the economic downfall. That is what Patty and I have been saying for years, the big thing it's going to come, it's got to be worldwide, and it's got to take down everything. And that's where we are today. Regardless of if this is real, if this is a play, if we are living in a dream right now, we need to take care of ourselves, right? We need to start living life to its fullest, healthy, and joyous, and in unity, you know, and stop this madness, and they're taking us where they want us to. If it's a scare tactic or not, we have to put the brakes on ourselves.
That's what I was talking about, is not being led. You know, I feel like sometimes we've been led down a certain path with all the information that's presented to us. It don't matter, you know, how we get to where we're going, as long as they get us to where they want us to be when we get there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. She caught me with a gulp of coffee in my mouth.
So, that's like the tailored news that we were talking about. You know, if you're a Democrat or a liberal, you get liberal disinformation. If you're a Republican or conservative, you get Republican or conservative disinformation. You know, half-truths. Make it sound plausible. Get everybody all excited about, you know, the bad guy's going to get theirs, and we're all going to, you know, live happily ever after, and then blindside you. So that's why I'm stepping back, and we're taking all these things in consideration. You know, the coronavirus, different countries and nations' economy, different laws that are trying to go on the books, different prior laws like the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, and all these different things from back in the days when we were going down the rabbit hole talking about all these conspiracies and pointing things out to, you know, people, inconsistencies and things like school shootings and stuff like that. Things that didn't seem to make any sense at the time. And it could very well have been that they were faking these events like that. The Boston bombing, there were things that were on videotape that really seriously need to be explained. Like, you don't put a guy in a wheelchair who just got his legs blown off and he's got bones hanging out. He'd bleed out in a matter of seconds, you know. So you would have to have him turn it up real good, and they'd put him on a stretcher, and they'd carry him out of there. But you see this guy pushing a guy in a wheelchair with bones sticking out of his doggone leg, and that's not how it's done. I was a first responder. I know how it's done. That's not how it's done.
You see, the real trick of it is that you're looking at this and you're seeing the inconsistencies, but the only reason you're seeing the inconsistencies is because they were put out there.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Were they
and
done
then,
deliberately?
Yeah, right. But and then you have the MSN, the news media, that's telling you that, no, that's not so.
Yeah.
The same thing with 9/11. You saw what happened. You could not know what happened. Yet, every government, every news agency were telling you that you didn't know what you were talking about, that it was a bunch of people who failed their flight tests at school, and you know they could find every record of every one of those supposed hijackers where they had come to flight school here and failed. Now, 18 of those there was something like 6 or 7 of those supposed hijackers were in prisons in other countries. Yep. At the time that they were also on the plane. All of these things are known, okay? This information was put out there so that those people who could see that it wasn't real would have proof on their side, but they would be up against a government or governments that would say, you don't know what you're talking about, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, it discredit you. Judicial Watch actually got through the doggone Freedom of Information request, got a copy of the Pentagon videotape of when the plane supposedly hit the doggone Pentagon. But I'm telling you, folks, I've been in science and I studied physics for my entire life. A plane that moving that doggone fast gets that too low to the ground is going to bounce off that ground, and there's going to be debris from the time that thing gets even remotely close to the ground before it ever even hits that side of that building. And there was no plane engines in the grass. There weren't no tail parts. There wasn't any parts of that doggone plane anywhere to be found. And whenever it went through the side of the Pentagon, if you ever looked at the wingspan of one of those passenger jets, you should have had damage that would be undisputable. No way you could dispute it. But
and what was in that? What was in that area that they hit? There was important papers.
There was an investigation going on a whole bunch of money that came up missing.
The lost money.
Yeah.
The disappearing money, right?
So all the people who were investigating, who had any knowledge, who was in that area, would have got instantaneously wiped out, and so there weren't no witnesses to what they found. And then the other building that had other information was one of the ones that fell as well. And before the doggone buildings ever came down, somebody took a double indemnity plan out on this doggone buildings.
The guy who owned the building.
Yeah.
The one that just fell so gracefully all by itself. There was no plane that hit it. Nothing happened.
So you get
it
paid twice by the
down.
Insurance company for buildings just in case. They were designed to withstand an airplane hit.
Well, I watched... I was at the gas station here near Woodstock, and I heard the report come over the radio, and I got in my car and went to my friend's house about 5 minutes away because I don't have a TV. We sat there watching, so I saw the whole thing live. I saw the buildings coming down, you know, and I'm not an expert on anything, but I know when my instincts tell me something, I pay attention.
Yep.
And I knew that was a controlled drop of those buildings. I just knew it. I said, this is controlled here, and I don't even know what you call it. Controlled demolition,
yeah,
I guess.
It was too smooth.
Knew it.
I actually got to witness one in real life down in Kansas City. I actually got to watch them take down an old government housing system and see how that thing fell, and it's incredible how meticulously they go through and they set the charges, and this thing will drop right in its own footprint.
It's like an arch.
It was like watching the same doggone thing.
Well, then, of course, now we have studies that were actual architects and other people who are questioning this that can, you know, are proving that this was impossible to have happened by these two planes, you know, hitting the buildings and the way those buildings were built, you know. I mean, they did all kinds of study on the steel, on the structure, and so on and so forth. But then that day, there were live videos of firemen and policemen in the streets and people coming out of the building, all covered in dust, and they all said, pretty much the majority of them, we heard explosions beneath us in the lower... They were on the first floor, or they were in the entranceway. They said, right out, truthfully, as they were coming out of those buildings, firemen and policemen said there were explosions in the bottom of the building. So, again...
But if you don't believe the mainstream narrative, then you're called a conspiracy nut. But all this stuff, stepping back, looking at all the evidence presented to us, they either put that information out there knowing people like us would come out there and say, hey, that don't look right. This ain't matching up. But to deliberately do that in order to spark a reaction, you know, a public outrage against the government. You know, we don't trust our government. It was an inside job kind of thing, and that spread like the plague, literally. Just about everybody and his brother who I've talked to in the time since 9/11 actually happened believed that it was an inside job, that it wasn't the way that the news media said. Now, don't get me wrong, you'll find the scattered ones that would say that they agreed with the deal. Oh, yeah, it's terrorists that did it, and that's why we had to go over there and fight with them in Afghanistan and Iraq.
No, well, that's what happened. That was it. Let's go to war now.
Yeah.
And then let's change the Constitution. Let's shift everything because it's the war on terror now.
Yeah. Now you go to the airport, you get groped. You go anywhere, you're constantly under surveillance. So we're already living George Orwell's 1984 kind of deal, and the other one that you mentioned as well, because it don't matter where you go. You're on camera, you're being surveilled on the internet, you're being suppressed. If you talk out against the public narrative, which the mainstream media is always out there, you go to all the different mainstream media channels, and they all got the same exact story saying pretty much at the same exact time. You go to the other one, you'll get an opposite point of view where somebody's questioning it, you know, gives you some place to where you can relate to the ones that are supposedly telling you the truth. And so is it too good to be true that we might be actually getting down to the time when we're actually going to see the veil lifted and we're going to get the truth about everything? Or are we being suckered? That's what I'm trying to ask, because I don't trust none of this stuff. This information,
I want to answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing of it is what I was talking about is that we see these things that happen. We see the purposeful act of what happened. We see it for what it is. We get the information, documentation that proves that we were right, and then we're confronted by the other side that disproves what we say through the narrative, you know, the MSN.
Yeah.
And then they move us to the next, and then they move us to the next, and then it's a school shooting. But also we can see we have the truth on that too. No, we don't, because the narrative on the MSN says no. So we move on from there, and we have the fires, and then we have the every time there is a mass killing, every time there is something catastrophic that happens, and there are discrepancies in it that show us plainly that it is not what really happened, that something else was behind it. We've got the other narrative that comes straight from our governments and the MSN to disprove and put that wedge between there, that cognitive dissonance, that chaos, so that you're going to have people that are going to be running around not knowing what the frick is going on. Everybody's got an idea, but we keep thinking that these things are separate, and they're not. They're all part of the same agenda. Every time they do something like this, every time they had a fire in California, and we saw the proof of these weapons that are being used. Every time we heard them talk on the videos and stuff, scientists and everything saying that they had the ability to control the weather, to make storms, to cause earthquakes. All these things, the chemtrails, all of this stuff. And the whole time that these things are going on, and we're saying, hey, they're writing laws.
Yeah.
They're saying, we're going to keep you safe because we're going to do this, and we're going to do... And now we look at a point where we're fighting for the right to speak.
Yep.
To speak. And when it comes down to it, we got this pandemic. They're shutting people down. They're shutting people down here in America because they don't like what they're saying. They're taking them, their social media away from them. No way to communicate now. No way to get the truth out. But there's just enough out there to keep everybody agitated, to keep everybody divided and running amok and trying to figure out what the heck is going on. You know, this is all the same agenda from the, it's the same as 9/11. It's no different, except I think this is the time, this is the final plug in the basin. I think they're pulling this plug, and at the end, when that water runs out, we're going to find ourselves at the behest of a global system that's been set up. I think this is the final. We're going down the drain now. That's just my opinion. Just saying.
Well, I think that's the plan. That is definitely the plan, and it's been incrementally moving towards that for centuries, I'm going to say. It's not new. It's not just this period here. This has been going on for centuries. The indoctrinations, the false information, the lies, the setting up the belief system that we are under, that we must believe this and live our lives according to, and this is who we are, and this is who we are not. And it starts in your very young life because, you know, that's when you're most vulnerable and most innocent, and that's when you don't have a lot of world experience. And it's already been, your parents have already been indoctrinated, so they're the ones that, you know, help form your indoctrination unbeknownst to them. And then their parents, your grandparents, this is centuries I'm talking about that has been going on, the indoctrination and the lies to slowly move us like herded animals, as you always say, says herding us into this corral. We'll wind up here in this one corral, and then, you know, they're setting up other circumstances. Well, now you're going to go over to that corral. And we've been watching this for years. I mean, even before we were here on People for People, right? Awake Radio and just in our own experiences, we've been watching this indoctrination and how people don't even, they're not even connected. When you are disconnected from your true nature, you are lost, you know. And that was deliberate. And that started when you're very young. And it started with your parents and their parents. For centuries this has been going on, and it's deliberate. When you're disconnected, indoctrinated away from the source of your life and well-being and inner peace, which is, to me, nature, which is our true nature. And also the spirit or creator or God, whatever it is, some strong foundation, something that gives you that trust and faith, that power that you have. And I'm going to ask this question, because you started out, is this too good to be true? So let's go to this. Is it too good to be true that we can actually heal ourselves? Is it too good to be true that everything is about energy and frequencies, and that that we have more abilities and capabilities and qualifications to change things for the better, for the good of the whole, through our inner standing of energy and frequency, the power of this? Is it too good to be true? You know, I know that I'm throwing that question out to those who are on the same page, but I just wanted to reiterate that, because we've been talking about the energy and frequency of in all life. And now this, for instance, this fear, the fear tactic, the terrorism tactic, drops your energy, drops your frequency. You start questioning your own instincts. You know, you don't have any critical thinking. That's been, that they did a good job on that with fluoride and various other things, and also separating you from your own natural instincts, your own source connection, where you can receive true guidance. and, you know, and the right information, your discernment tool that you don't even know you have a discernment tool, the energy, the sensory abilities and perceptions that we were gifted upon birth by Creator, you know, to be aware and connected to all of life and to be able to discern those things that we need to be alert to, you know, like the truth, you know, sitting there watching somebody on the boob tube talking to you about this is what's going on in the world, and you just go, oh wow, that's what's going on in the world, instead of using your own abilities to discern, is this fact, is this true, is this a lie, is this real, is this too good to be true? These things have been removed from us deliberately. That's why I'm saying incrementally, where are they leading us? You know, leading us yet to the brave new world, of course, that's what we feel, where you take a pill every day and you are happy because sex is free and anything you could imagine is available and you're a slave, you know?
And this
is what's happening.
Let me read something from the Bible. Boy, that ought to be a good one, right? Well, if you go to Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken heart... I'm just going to read this over here. In the New International Version, it says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. It's a New Living Translation. A cheerful heart is good medicine. That's not the only place that, where you hear that. Even science says that laughter is good medicine. You know, because it releases, chemistry in your head that makes you feel good.
Well, it happens when you go out in nature. We know that instinctively, and we have valued our connection to nature. But now scientists are actually doing studies on what happens to people who go out in nature, and it is all positive. It's even on a healing level. You know, it's nurturing, it's healing. There's a different frequency out there. It's your source, it's your home, like, you know. This is what I'm talking about. So just threw the question out there, is it too good to be true? Well, I believe it is true, and I've experienced it myself, and I know you have too, and you have as well. You know, the nurturing and the peace and the healing that we have the ability to, you know, and it is through frequency, it is through energy. And what we create and manifest is what we think about and focus on, what we believe. And what have we been told to believe? We've been told to believe that we are useless, that we are just feeders, bottom feeders, that we have no significance at all, that we aren't significant, that we are, you know, what they call useless feeders and whatever. And that's how they treat us, but that's how they've indoctrinated us too. You know, I'm just saying, so here's where we are today. All that we're talking about that is happening, you know, that is a too good to be true stuff, the 9/11, this war, that war, all the sacrificial wars, because they are, and V hit it on the head again. It's like we've talked about this, that these things are sacrificial blood sacrifices. And what are we feeding when we're in a negative energy? What are we feeding when we are hateful? What are we feeding? Because something is feeding on us, feeding on those particular energies and the low frequencies. It needs that food in order to survive and exist, just like the light. It's the same thing. It works on the same premise. You know, when you have compassion and you have love, that's a frequency that uplifts you. Like when you lend a hand to someone, like they say, when you are in service to others or lend a hand to others, you receive back. You know, you receive tenfold back, you know. And then the opposite happens. When you're selfish, when you're judgmental, you know, if you're violent and you're filled with hate, well, you're going to receive too. You're going to receive the same. That's what you create then in your experience, and that will be your life.
How good are you at math?
Not good at all.
Huh. Well,
I'm brilliant.
I'm gonna take my cell phone.
Not good at math. You don't have to be. You don't have to be good at math to be brilliant.
I'm going
to
take my cell phone right now, and I'm going to type in the word love. And I'm going to add all these up. I'm going to go L plus O plus V plus E. And so
I
get
to that. If you add another E and you turn it around, you have evolved.
Yeah, well, check this out. 5 plus 6 plus 8 plus 3 equals 22. Now, if you go to the Christian Jewish numerology scale,
right. Right.
Number 22 is light.
Right. Oh. Well, the numbers are very significant because they have a frequency, you see. Everything has a frequency. Our words have a frequency.
Do you see that how you're talking about the word love and you're talking about the word light in the same sentence, and the numbers actually, you know, play out on a cell phone that,
right,
you know, and you could do it on any other thing,
exactly,
as well. But that's
I guess what I'm saying here is it's not too good to be true that we can change things, our personal experience above all. But as a seed planter, when we change our personal experience, okay, our vibration, our frequency, we are seed planters. Either we're planting the seeds of love or we're planting the seeds of hate. Either way, we're seed planters. But it changes your experience one way or the other. You know, and when you live your life with compassion and joy for others and caring for others and love, and of course unconditional love is a goal. It's not easy, trust me, unconditional love, because that means you have absolutely no conditions for you just love. You're just a loving person. You don't set up conditions or your list on people, where you keep a list on people. Well, they didn't do this, so now I'm just going to remove my love, or I'm going to delete them. I'm talking unconditional love. So that's a frequency. I call it a divine frequency. To me, I feel like the Creator, Great Spirit, created this creation, which includes us, with unconditional love, and I'm going to add joy. Because when I look out at the earth, and when I see a newborn baby, when I know, you know, this something about in this great mysterious, it gives me joy. I am elated. I am joyous, sometimes to the point of tears, because it's so beautiful. It's just so awesome. So I have to look at that. So when you live your life with that love, and if you aspire to unconditional love, you will have inner peace. Nobody, basically, can, you know, harm you. That just doesn't exist, because it's sort of like you just love, you know, and you don't keep people captured. Oh, I'll love you if you act this way. I'll love you if you do that for me. That's when I'll love you. That's not real love. That's manipulation and control, and that's not, you know, that's a condition. I'm giving the conditions out. I will love you and be here for you if you do this, that, and so on. And so what I'm saying here is the power that we have to change our own personal experience plants the seed, and that emanates out from us like that pebble in the pond. We are constantly doing that. And so if you want to change things, particularly your own experience, it has to start with you. Everything that we're talking about must begin with ourselves. We have to come to love ourselves unconditionally. We have to know that we are sacred. We have to know that when we know this fully and wholly within ourselves, our vibration changes, our frequency changes, and that aligns us with Source. You can call the Source whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me, but it puts you in a different frequency altogether. You could call that sort of like an luminous bubble if you want. You can call that a shield. You can call that the white light that is surrounding you, protecting you. You can call it the foundation, the most powerful foundation that you have to stand on when chaos is roiling all around you. And when the demons are, you know, rising up and the people are crazy and the politicians are, you know, doing what they're doing, or the deep state of the dark ones. It doesn't matter. You are in that frequency, and that is the most powerful place that you can ever be. I'm not saying it's easy, but it does exist. I've been there. I know some of you have been there. I know we have this ability to do this. I do know this. And it is in our hands. Everything here, we are here to do this. We came here to do this. I'm just saying.
Well, I believe they know it as well, and that's why they try so hard to keep us constantly fighting each other.
That's right. They're constantly keeping us in fear and believing that we're not sacred right off the bat. You're a sinner. You're useless. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You're insignificant. These are the words that we have heard. This is the indoctrination to keep us away from our true nature, who we really are, and the wisdom that is within us that we all have. That's my rant for just this moment. Thank you.
Chris has a question for you, Shaz. Can you share that numerology website?
Yeah, I'll have to look it right back up. I don't know if this old site is still in existence or not, but it used to have, if you type in biblical numerics, this one, let me see, I'll just type it in. Somebody talk here for a second. I'll just type it in and see if I can get it, the same thing.
Okay. Well, Barb also, Chris, Barb also has the link for a gematria site, which is like Hebrew cipher, if you wanted to check that out. It's not actually numerology, but it uses some of the aspects of numerology and bases them with alphabets, I think.
Well, yeah, it's very fascinating, actually. So let me just actually pass that to you, if you're interested.
And you just put in the word or whatever that you're looking for?
Well, you'll see. Yeah, when you pull it up, there's a... where you can type in the word or whatever, and then you click on, there's English gematria and there's Jewish gematria, so you can pick whatever one you want.
Right.
So I also, so I asked the question, says, is it too good to be true about our abilities and our abilities to use frequencies and energies and to heal ourselves and to change things, and you know, and I come in asking you, I know your answer, but I'm just throwing that out to you so we can continue our conversation.
Well, it would seem that it would be too good to be true, that we would have the ability to thwart all of these things that are a part of the chaos that's out there. But it's actually true, because we do have that ability. There's a phrase, and I don't know, somebody told me it wasn't in the Bible, I don't know, but if Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, fall into the sea, and it would.
You could move the mountain, yeah.
Well, this is really true, because we've seen, this is the thing, is that we can have a personal, physical proof of these things that are possible with our energy and with the focus of frequency. We have proof that we can self-identify with that show us that, yes, we indeed do have this ability. What it takes is a lot of concentration and focus and commitment to the agreement that you do have this ability. You know, if you doubt yourself, doubt is what is out there in chaos.
That's right.
the truth has to be something that is infallible, and the only way that can be is if you carry it, because once you throw it out there, then a thousand different beings will say it's not. But only when you carry that truth, when it's your truth, does it really become that. And I know that there's people who say, oh no, because this, somebody said this over there, and I think that's, well, you think it's true. And if it sits in your spirit and it came from you, then it is true. But there is nothing that can be said that could be truer than your connection to your Creator. Nothing is truer than that. There's no words that have ever been written that can even explain the truth, the way your connection to the creation, the Creator, and the all that is. And you have that connection, and we know it because we know about frequency. Everything shares it. Everything is connected, and we see it all the time. We feel it all the time. And so there's our superpowers, and it's greater than anything these other guys are doing. They're having to use us and our energy and our frequency, because they can't do it without us. They use our physical energy, our mental energy, and our spiritual energy, and they use it for their purposes, and the only way they can continue to use it is to keep us in a state of chaos and fear. But as soon as we decide, I'm done with that, as soon as we decide this is my ability, my power to change frequency, my power to change what I put out there, then it becomes so. You make it so.
Yeah, I want to just say about the doubt, because doubt, grandfather, my teacher Wallace Blackwell, used to say, doubt is a disease, okay? And once you're controlled by doubt, you know, you are diseased, your body, you are out of balance, in other words. I found out that the doubt, basically, a about oneself or doubting basically means you are doubting the Creator or Great Spirit or God, whomever you align yourself with, that doubt, okay, doubting of yourself is basically doubting the Creator who created you as this sacred being, this amazing child.
I gotta explain this this link right here because the website, the original website, doesn't exist anymore. But there's a tool out there called the Wayback Machine. That if you go to this Wayback Machine, you can get any copies of whatever was on there, you know, at certain time periods. And so I did find the God's Count page that I'm references when I do these numbers and stuff. And so that link right there is on the Wayback Machine. It's in the archive, but you can actually see a list of these numbers. And I'm supposed if you get there and print out those, you'll have a copy of what I got in my hand. And so if you ever need to find a website that don't exist anymore, try that Wayback Machine. It works. Anyway. Silence. Anyway, if you look on there, it has all the different numbers that are equated to letters in that. And calculate up those numbers, and you can get a general idea what they say each one of these numbers represents. So it's pretty interesting. 666, according to them, is the Antichrist. 777 is the Christ. So, is it too good to be true? This whole entire thing? Well,
if you're talking about the Trump stuff,
I'm talking about
doesn't your book say that there will be someone who will come along, and of course I'm paraphrasing, but you'll know what I'm talking about, who will, the masses will see him do miracles, see him
great
wonders, yes.
Alright, well,
and
let me do
they
something
will worship
here.
Him.
Let me do
Are
something
we there
here.
Yet?
Let me do something here that'll help out those Trump haters. Alright, so taking numbers that I just posted on there, and I take my cell phone and I go T plus R plus U plus M plus P, which spells out Trump, and equals 36. Well, if you go on that website and you read number 36, it says enemy. I'm just saying, that's what it says. Is it true? I don't know.
That doesn't explain anything.
No.
Yeah, what does 45 do?
It doesn't explain anything. I mean, you know, it could mean he's fighting enemies. It could be there's enemies that are going to fight. I mean, you know, that doesn't say anything.
45 says preservation.
There you go. Okay. So, again, just...
What does 17 say?
Let me scroll up and see. 17, victory.
How curious. You've got the pro and the con.
Yep.
You've got enemy and then preserver and then victory.
Just for the record, love is number 16 and 6 plus 1 is 7, and let me scroll out down to 7 there, up to 7, and see what number 7 says. Resurrection, spiritual completeness, Father's perfection. Ain't that amazing?
Well, there's 19.
19. Let me scroll down to 19.
Well, no, do coronavirus.
19's faith.
Okay.
All right, coronavirus. We'll have to get the calculator going.
Okay.
All right, let's see. How do you spell that?
C.
Hold on.
O. Well, they're calling it COVID.
Yeah, but with the original term was... coronavirus. Let's go with that because
right.
They changed it. I don't know why. To make it easier, they said
C plus O plus R plus
O.
O plus.
N.
N plus.
Is it A?
A.
A.
Yeah.
Plus.
V.
V. Plus.
I.
Plus.
R.
R. Plus.
U.
U.
Plus S.
S. Equals 63. Let's go down here. And there ain't no 63. So, so six plus 3 would be 9. So let's go to 9. Fruit of the Spirit, divine completeness from the Father.
What?
But there ain't no 63. Ain't that a... Maybe we should have done them individually. I don't know.
If you just do the corona.
If you just do the corona without the virus.
It comes up beer.
No, right. I'm just try that.
Never mind. Sorry.
C plus O plus R plus O plus N plus A equals 29. See? This is interesting. And number 29 is departure.
Yeah.
Don't get on the ship.
Yeah, don't get on the ship. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, man.
And this has been your episode of Fun with Numbers.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just something else that you look into, because the more information you got in your head, because it's not just Christian and Jewish numerology, you got all different types of numerology, you got astrology, you got, you know, just all kinds of different things that people try to make sense of everything that's going on. My way of making sense is to take all this information, put it on the table, step back and look at the big picture. When you start noticing a whole lot of parallels, that's something to take note of. You know, like Paul Hardy.
You have to know, again, it's all about frequency. Numbers are frequencies, you see.
Yeah.
And so, and they're significant. They're not just random. Numbers are put together due to their frequency, and they impact in certain areas of our lives and the world due to, you know, their connectedness to certain frequencies. I don't know, Chris has got a bunch of numbers up here.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Or departure from Earth.
So I typed in the word light, and it come up to number 25, and it says repentance, the forgiveness of sins. Light is number 22.
What the heck?
And love spells 22. So love and light, they go hand in hand. According to that.
Cool.
Well, anyway.
Well, is it too good to be true?
I don't think it is. I think there's some things going on, but as far as, you know, what your political views are, what's going on in society, that might very well be too good to be true. But whenever you talk about looking into your inner spirit and doing what you're talking about, making yourself strong, that is true. That has to be true. I mean, I've witnessed it myself, and I know you ladies have witnessed it, and many people listening in have witnessed it, how, you know, just getting in touch with nature and basically making your body feel better. They say your body's your temple, and so if you're polluting your temple, you're obviously not going to be feeling good. So there's something to be said about that. Science says that laughter's good medicine because it releases all them good endorphins, I think is what they call it. Is it endorphins? Somebody look that up. I can't remember. But anyway, it makes you feel good.
Yep.
And so that's an energy, that's a frequency, that's a, you know, that's a science says it, the book said it. What was that that reference again there? I done went past it. It was Proverbs, I think. Let me go back and see if I can find that.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. We're talking about Is it too good to be true?
Yes, Proverbs 17:22. As the different versions of the Bible out there, keep in mind, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And don't that sound true?
Well, I say.
So, you know, a couple different faiths are agreeing on that. Even science is agreeing on that.
Well, I know what they were gonna. I was gonna say. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. About the treatments of illness, disease. You know, in our culture, in Indian culture, we understand that it is the body, mind, and spirit when someone is ill or has a disease. That it's not just the sickness or wherever it is. It's like the treating the whole person, right? Is very important. And we have the, you know, the Western medicine that basically tell us they have the answers to disease or cancer specifically and others, and that we must follow that protocol. You know, meanwhile, the protocol happens to be killing you and destroying your immune system, and you're lucky if you make it through that.
Oh, speaking of the immune system, The Benefits of Laughter says, it's true, laughter is strong medicine. It draws people together in ways that trigger healthy physical and emotional changes in the body. Laughter strengthens the immune system, boosts mood, diminishes pain, and protects you from damaging effects of stress. I will post that link.
There was a story of a guy, this is many years ago, who was diagnosed with cancer. And he knew about laughter, and he just chose this to do. He just, what else, you know, he didn't know what else to do, but he figured he's going to hole up in a hotel room. You know, they'll make his food and whatever. He'll sit there and watch these comedies, you know. So he sat there, I don't know, for weeks watching comedies or something. I don't really know how long, but he actually healed himself. This is what it was said. But aside from that, I know people who have chosen alternative ways when they have been diagnosed and told, sorry, you know, we can't help you. And they have shifted their focus and, you know, instead went into alternative ways. And part of that was about your visualizations and talking to your immune system and uplifting and nurturing and strengthening your immune system with not only visualization but with color, visualizing color, which are also frequencies and healing properties, the words that you are using, but also, you know, vitamin therapy, juicing and various other things, and identifying your immune system and the power that that has, and starting to use the immune system to destroy the cancer cells. And this has been very successful. And then other people who just change their diet and go out in nature and start changing their life. It's very important to find the will within you to live. The importance of yourself being here, because you are important, but the significance of yourself being here on the planet at this time is a different perspective of looking at the way, you know, life is and why you're here, the purpose, your purpose, your whole purpose for being. And, you know, now it's sometimes it's in the case of the Symington's Clinic, where they have helped many people who have been told by the Western medical doctors just to go home and prepare to die, where they have had you know, remissions in the cancers, and many of them have lasted and lived life longer than the medical doctors told them. Go home 6 months, you're going to be dead. But they have extended their lives, and they have had, you know, a better life, a more joyous life through these ways of, you know, alternative healing. You know, which is a big plus. And some of them has actually eliminated and cured the cancer. And some of them have a better quality of life, no matter how long they are going to be here, okay? So there's a lot of things that go on in that arena. You know, I'm not saying everybody's healed and done with cancer, but there are many different levels and many possibilities, just so you... Yeah.
Yes, and what was that article about the, curing cancer with frequency?
It was a video the scientists just recently discovered that they was it TED Talk? They have actually killed cancer cells with frequencies, and they said not only cancer cells, but a couple of other diseases, which I can't recall right now. But this is not new news. This is old. These frequencies and healing have been around for many, many years. And they've been poo-pooed, and of course, you know, people who have done these studies, like the fellow who put up the Rife machine and various other persons who have discovered these things, you know, were basically taken down, you know. They were eliminated, and their studies were eliminated. So now scientists are saying, okay, so they just came out with this video. Scientists say, oh, it's so exciting. They can actually destroy cancer cells and other diseases of the body with frequency. So let's see where this goes, sis. Okay, what are they going to do with it? Let's see if suddenly this is, you know, being used in clinics, used in, you know, the cancer hospitals. Is it going to be used?
Right, and the price, what is it going to be, you know?
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Right. Who is it going to be available to? But you can go online, and we've been talking about that. There are YouTubes that use the natural, the Hertz frequencies that are nature's mother's frequency, the heartbeat of the mother's frequency, our natural frequencies, and so on. You can go online and you can Google these and you can sit and listen to them. And I have to say, they do change. They change. It's energetically, you can feel the change. It gives you inner peace. It gives you a big sigh, and you feel peaceful and calm, and, you know, and so on. And these are frequencies that are basically tuned to a certain hertz for your heart or your DNA or balancing and harmonizing or healing your immune system. There's tons of these things that you can go and do yourself.
Well, when I was doing my experiments using Tesla's technology and such, I run through all different types of frequency ranges. Well, one specific incident is right before we decided to go camping, and man, I felt so good for like 3-4 days after that one specific frequency range that I was in. And I remember laying there in the camper in the middle of the night, and I could feel like there was energy moving between my fingers. I mean, it's like I got it all charged up. It was almost like drinking about 10 pots of coffee before you go to bed. But it wasn't a sick feeling. It was amazing. So I understand that, you know, those frequency ranges, there are ones out there that really literally make you feel good. One of the simplest example is somebody running their fingers down a chalkboard. To some people, that's like torture, you know, or, you know, the magic marker going squeaking across the, whatever the board that you write on with that. And different songs, you know, there are some songs out there that will quite literally make you nauseated to listen to, and there are some out there that will really seriously uplift your spirit, and there's songs out there that actually make you want to fight, you know, or get up and dance and stuff like that. So you got to factor all that kind of stuff into, you know, the evidence of what you're talking about. What do you think? Man, we get a lot of dead spots in here.
We're waiting to see which one steps up.
Oh, well, that's good. Anyway.
Well, yeah, the thing of it is that the good news is that really there's no reason to fear. And, you know, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know what today is, and I know where I'm at right now, and I'm happy and I'm grateful. The only thing that I think that we have that changes anything is our intent and our ability to focus our intent.
Yep.
And create the frequency.
Well, my intent on bringing this question to the table wasn't to make everybody paranoid. It's to basically hope that people, you know, will keep an open mind to all different possibilities. For example, you know, somebody said in the chat room one time how they were surprised that me being a Christian could be so tolerant of other, you know, belief systems. Well, we're all in this learning game together. But I need to have an open mind, because the way that I've been brought through this world and the adventures that I've been on, I can't honestly say that anybody has known one single truth. You know, there's a lot of lot of evidence to different, you know, aspects of what we talk about, you know, in just about every, you know, every religion out there. You know, they got common denominators, but nonetheless, because of the way that mankind has been corrupted, it's like I said, if any one book out there, because it was written by a man, is questionable, then all those books that were written by a man need to be questioned. You know, until you get first-hand, you know, evidence of something, the shape of the earth or whatever, you know, until I get far enough away from this rock that we're standing on to tell you definitively what it is that I'm seeing with my own two eyes, then I couldn't say. I would have to be going off of faith of what the science guys said. I'd have to be going off of faith of what NASA's been saying all these years, that we did go to the moon back in 1969. I would have to take everything that they say as pretty much the gospel. I'd have to believe it, you know. But because of questionable incidents, and I have questions, I can't sit there and honestly tell you that, yeah, we definitely did, beyond a shadow of a doubt, go to the moon. Why would so many people lie? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of so many people on any side of any subject that don't want you to know certain things about the world you live in, or about who or what you really are, your true potential, your power, or whatever. They want you to know that. And so how would they convince you otherwise? Well, they would put it in books, they'd put it in movies, they'd put it on the news or whatever. They'd tell you in public about it. And after a while, somebody once said that if you tell a lie, a large enough lie, long enough, that people will start to believe it. How do we know the truth? But here's a crazy thought. I look back at the when I was going to school, and they taught about the Greek gods, and they taught about the Titans. Well, you know, the doggone Bible actually talked about Greek gods and Titans, just using different terminology. There were giants on the land back there. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There were all kinds of things back then that, you know, we were told weren't even real. But if the fallen angels came down and mated with the daughters of men and made abominations to God, wouldn't that be the same thing as what was explained as the Greek gods, the fallen angels coming down here and having the Nephilim child or whatever, you know how the conspiracy world talks about it? I mean, it was written in the book. It was told to be fantasy. There may have really been fairies. There may have really been unicorns. There may have really been dragons. There may have really been Medusa with all the snakes coming out of her head. Half man, half goat, like Pan or the Minotaur. There may have very well been all of those. There may have very well been giant trees, giant men. And everything was so incredibly corrupt back then that it all had to be destroyed and start all over fresh. But how am I to know? Literally, how am I to know what was fact and what was fiction? But if you step back, all the way back, and you look at every bit of thing, everything that you've ever been told in your entire life, and start scratching your head, the light bulb might come on. Maybe this world isn't exactly the way we were explained it to be. Maybe the true history isn't what we actually thought. Maybe those folks up there are playing a game on us. Maybe those folks up there are putting on a show in order to get us to act a certain way. What better way to ruin somebody's spirit is to get them angry about what they believe in, to make them question authority, and make them question everything, make them question themselves. What better way to get somebody to act in a manner in which is going to go against them personally? Because everything you do rotten in your life comes back to bite you. You know, everything, every lie you tell, every dirty deed you do, it's never hidden away. It always comes back to get you. And so all these folks up there in the Senate and the Congress and the wealthy, rotten people that's doing all the dirty deeds, their day of reckoning to come around. Every single one of them. They're all getting old too, with exceptions of the one who want to become gods, which want to be half human, half cyborg, might even get sucked into the computer one day. Who knows? I've seen all the movies. But regardless of all that, you know, one thing stands true. If you want to be intellectually honest with yourself, there ain't one single living soul today that has every single answer that to every single thing who could honestly say to themselves or anybody else out there, this is the way it is. And as far as Trump, you don't have to like the guy. You might be need to be concerned about the guy. He could very well be the Antichrist. We could be deceived in any direction, whether it be that he was a nice guy and found out he was a bad guy, or he was a bad guy, we thought he was a bad guy, we found out that he was, you know, the good guy. Watch all these doggone movies out there, and I'll tell you, if you don't see parallels in there, in Jericho, the series Jericho, they blame North Korea for bombing these cities, the nuke in the cities. North Korea can't even shoot a rocket straight. So how are they going to get it over here? But what it turned out, and this is a spoiler to the show, was it was an inside job. The same people who created the problem were the ones who come rushing in to solve the problem. And ironically enough, the guy that was in that movie kind of looks like Trump. I'm just saying. But never, ever take your eyes off the ball. Don't underestimate, don't overestimate, don't get too overconfident in what you think you believe. Now, I'm not running around slapping everyone upside the head with a Bible because I call myself a Christian. I actually call myself a Christian for a much different reason than most folks think. And so I might very well be a heretic out there in that community. Because I took the words that Jesus said literally. I mean literally. If he is the Son of God, if he's God in the flesh, then he can't lie. And if he says that you can move a mountain, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, I'm saying I can move a mountain. I'm out here trying it right now. But if I got any kind of doubt whatsoever to overcome that power of that belief or that faith that I got in the truth, then I'm not going to move that mountain because I've been told I can't. It's against the laws of physics. But that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that you're powerless. And I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. I know there's a way out of this mess. I know that we can fix every single problem in this world. There's not one single episode out there that you can mention, explain, whether it be a disease, a disaster, or anything, that we as humans cannot fix. We have the tools, we have the technology, we have the manpower, we have the resources. We've been given the most amazing gift in the history of history and time itself. This world is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It generates power, it generates heat, it generates food, it recycles itself, it recycles you. And if you work in perfect harmony with it as a one, then it's going to reward you for that. So it is within our grasp to literally clean up the mess that mankind has made. It is within our grasp to end all the wars. It's within our grasp to end all the starvation and the sickness. We literally have that capability. Science proves it. Faith proves it. Everything out there, every sign points to you have that power. But you've been told, and so you reject and you deny. You say that, you know, only God can come in here and fix this. Well, if God said that we were created in His image and Jesus said that we can move mountains if we had that kind of faith, Jesus walked on water in the book. He had another man walking on water. When that man took his eyes off of him, he started to sink. You think about that. And however you want to look at it, don't matter. Don't matter whether you're a hardcore atheist or agnostic or whatever out there. One thing you can't deny is that we're all in this boat together. And when this ship sinks, it ain't going to care whether you're black. It ain't going to care whether you're white. It ain't going to care whether you're yellow. It ain't going to care about your past. It ain't going to care about what somebody else did to you or what you're going to do to somebody else. It's not going to care about how much money you got in your pocket. It's not going to care about anything. It ain't going to care about who's the president. It ain't going to care about who isn't. It ain't going to care. We're all going down together. when this boat sinks, it's all hands on deck. We only got this place that we live in called Earth. Whether it's round or whether it's flat, whether it's dodecahedron, triangle, concave, convex, hollow, or whatever, it's our home. And if we don't start treating it like home, if we don't start treating each other like family, if we allow all this craziness out there, you know, is it too good to be true? Yeah, right now it's too good to be true because you've been told that it's too good to be true. And as long as we believe it's too good to be true that we got that power, then we're going to let their version of the is it's too good to be true, what they're putting out there, that show, that movie that we're watching, that doggone, the Trump episode versus the Democrat episode over there. The riots in the street, the protest, standing there with your wooden stick and your paper sign, shining the gay pride flag up on the people's house. I don't care if you're gay, it's not my problem. But if you have something that's supposedly middle ground, you're not supposed to take and shove nothing else in somebody else's face. You're there to represent all, for the same reason why they don't want God in school. The same exact reason, because you might offend somebody. Why would you shine that on the people's house? You'll make a section of the population unhappy. Why would you allow people to commit crimes and allow other people to go to jail for committing lesser crimes? Because you want to make the people unhappy. If you're being played like a banjo, you know, shame me once, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, so on down the line. It's a common sense thing, folks. It's just a common sense thing. We don't know the truth about everything. We're all out here actively seeking the truth about everything. And when we get to the other end of the road, we'll find out who was right and who was wrong. But in the meantime, we're going to leave in our wake all of our children and their children. Everything that we do today is going to affect the world that they live in tomorrow. And if we have the capability of curing illnesses, so that they don't have to suffer through that, and we don't do it, then that's not right. If we have the capability of solving homelessness and sickness and ending wars and the rumors of wars and the hatred of one another, if we don't do that for us, then we should at least be doing it for them. Our children, your children, our future generations that are growing up in a world that is so doggone distorted, they don't even know what gender they are anymore. It's sad. But we have the power. We have the spoken word. We have the written word. We have the power of our actions. And the most powerful thing in our arsenal is the love in our heart. If we take that love in our heart and we focus it like we do our weapons of war, focus it and put it out there, those ripples will become waves that will become tsunamis and so on down the line. And it's hard to be around a bunch of people who are smiling and hugging each other and then want to fight. You think about that. That's a lot of power. So, you know, take it how you want. That man said that we had that power. We were created in our Creator's image. That's what I was told. I'm either to believe it all or I'm not to believe any of it at all. In the Old Testament, God was going around smiting everybody. He was really upset. He was going around smiting everybody, flooded the world. And then in the New Testament, gave us some remorse about the whole deal of running around smiting everybody, flooding the world. In the New Testament, we got a new deal. So is it true? How am I supposed to know? But what I learned from the deal, and what you can learn from any other thing out there, is that you look at that, and it's got valuable lessons in the whole entire story. Paul Harvey back in 1965 laid it out. Had people have took him serious back then, and they'd have referenced all the other religions of the world and all the other things that do no harm to each other, and they would act upon it back then, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. So our generation might be the last generation that even has the possibility of doing anything about it. Because how bad can it get before you've gone too far and there's no turning back, and then our future children are living in a toxic road warrior style world of something that you'd see in a science fiction movie. I see hope for this world. I still believe in the dream. And until I'm proven otherwise, until your book shows me something that I didn't see in my book, I gotta keep the faith. Otherwise I go insane. So, what do you think, Patty?
Well, I'm just sitting back listening and excellent, looking at the chat and everything. And, you know, the reality that we have to deal with, the reality that matters, and the reality that has the only ability to affect us in a positive way, is if we choose to step away from the negative and concentrate on the positive. And it's not about, you know, if you want to know who the hero is going to be in your life, then you need to go get a mirror and look at it. And the person that's looking back at you, that's the only hero that's ever going to be there for you, because it's the only hero that can be there for you. And if we all chose to look in that mirror and find our hero, and we started to reach out without fear, without fear of being put down, or without fear of being yelled at, or without fear of becoming or being called crazy or whatever. If we could just live without fear and do the right thing. Do the right thing. That's all it takes, is for to live a life in gratitude, and to live a life not in servitude of people, but in frequency of positiveness, and to make sure that that's what we put out. It's so easy to get caught up in the slightest of things today, and that positivity, it'll slide back, and you'll still have it, but it won't be as strong, and then eventually, it's not there at all. We've got to consciously, this is my opinion too, I'm not preaching to anybody, but I feel within myself that I have got to be continuous and be consistent with my consciousness concerning what am I putting out, what frequency am I putting out, because it affects me. It doesn't just affect me, it affects everyone and everything, but it affects me. You know, that person looking, that I'm looking in that mirror, that hero, it's affecting that hero. And if I can't support that hero, how am I going to be able to do anything else? You know?
You're right. You got to be strong for yourself in order to be strong for others.
And know who you are, you know? You've got to know that that you are the most important person when it comes to being able to make change. You are the most important person when it comes to being able to raise that frequency to make that pathway for others, you know?
You know, Patty, God only made one of you. There ain't never, ever, ever going to be another Patty. There might be a lot of people named Patty. There might be a lot of people with even the same last name. But there will never, ever be another woman who can say and do things in the way that you say it. Each and every person out there is just like that. They're unique. They're an individual. And each one of them is special. You know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying?
Yes. Yes, and that's the beauty, because each and every one of us got our own special hero,
that's
you know?
It.
Yeah.
That's it. You're the miracle you've been waiting for, folks. And combined, imagine what all those miracles could do combined. the things that you can accomplish together is off the scale. If you can dream it, you can make it so. That's the thing. You know, Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And isn't that what everyone else has been telling you all along? Except for those that don't want you to believe in yourself because they don't want you to be successful. They make it hard for you to be successful in business. They make it hard for you to become wealthy. Those who do make it up there, they got to give something in order to get there. What is it? What did they trade their soul or what? You know, did they do some rotten deeds or did they just get lucky and win the lottery? Patty, do you know how many people who've actually won a lottery and it destroyed their lives? Literally.
Yeah, I think it's a big quota.
Yeah. It's a big number. There's a lot of people who won the lottery thinking that, you know, hey, wow, I won the lottery. Everything's going to be so wonderful. But it flat out destroyed their life. They were better off before they had that money.
And so, you know, expectations. They'll get you every time. And, you know, you said something earlier, it doesn't matter. And Jerry also, she says, yep, and each one of us is just as important as anyone else, yes, including any politician.
Yep.
And that's the thing, is that you don't have to agree with what they're doing. You don't have to like what they're doing. You can say that what they're doing is wrong because you can make that determination. You have that ability, and you should make a determination. But the thing of it is that you can't change that at all.
No, for the most part, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, but what you can do is not feed it,
yep,
not make it more powerful. Instead, make yourself keep your frequency going, because it doesn't affect you unless you allow it to. You have to own it. You have to take ownership. You know, it's like their clean hands doctrine. They're going to tell you what they're going to do, and you're going to know what they're going to do, but they're not going to tell you how they're going to do it, and they're not going to tell you that you're going to be tricked into doing it and you won't realize it until after the fact. So the thing of it is, if you know it's a snake, and you know a snake will bite you, when the snake tells you no, it won't, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe it, or are you going to walk the other way? Just mind your own business.
Move on down the road. It's kind of like those enablers out there who enable alcoholism. You know, you go out and you don't want this person to suffer, so you'll go out and buy them booze and all that kind of stuff. And this goes on for year after year, and their health keeps on deteriorating, and you're enabling it. Just like we enable all these politicians to stand out there and lie to us, because they're going for the gold. They want to become the president. They want to become a senator or a congressman or whatever, you know. And they know that there's perks in there. They have money. They're going to have notoriety, fame, and fortune. Be on TV all the time. Get to make laws and all that. So they're basically selling themselves just to get there. I feel bad for them. Because in reality, it's all going to come back. Everything. It's all going to come back on them. And it's sad because, you know, I don't want that on anybody. But, you know, if you enable them, you're being complicit. Folks, we're the base of the pyramid. We're the one holding up that capstone. And for every level of that pyramid, you know, those folks that are above us in society as far as wealth-wise or notoriety or fame or fortune, get all the way up to the upper echelon up there, the bankers and the elitists, the richest families of the world, we're holding them up. We're buying their products. We're complying with every single thing that they do. And they don't want to lose that foundation, which is us, so they're going to manipulate us in every different way. They're going to keep us fighting each other, so we want security, so we'll ask the man, hey, you know, take away my rights and, you know, just keep these people from hurting me, kind of thing. Does that sound about right there, Patty?
Well, you know, the crazy thing about it is that we didn't need a Patriot Act to keep us safe. All we needed to do was enforce the laws that the government had already put into place. We've always had the ability. That's why we have these, quote, ABC agencies. Isn't that right? So that we can find out everything that's going on in the world so they can keep us protected. Yet, we needed a law for them to overstep the constitutional bounds in order to keep us safe. No, that's not how it works. This is the way they do things, though. We can't get around this. We can't fight that. We can't. They know 20 ways from Sunday how to rig. You know, they're the best at lying. They're the best at manipulating. I mean, they got it down to a science. And the only way that we can become immune to what they're doing is to not give a frick about what they're doing, only give a frick about what we're doing, what we're putting out. You can't take a sign on a piece of wood, like you were saying, go to the streets and yell at the official government building and expect anything to change. And it's not changing. If you were, take for instance this thing about the impeachment thing with Trump, you had 70%, I think it was, of the country, of the people who are supposed to govern this country, you had 70% of the people telling them they did not want this president impeached. That's true. That's really true. 70%. But the government, that the Congress that works for the people, is paid by the people, is elected by the people, decided that we didn't count anymore. That the people didn't count.
That's it.
You know? So what are you going to do? Are you going to get your sign and go up there and say, that wasn't fair? I'm going to yell at you until you stop being unfair? Or do you go about your life making your life what you want it to be and the people's lives around you by changing the frequency, by empowering yourself, by doing what you do that empowers you and empowers others around you? You know? It's a toss-up, you know. If you want to be an activist and you think going out there and throwing pebbles at the mountain is going to make it crumble, then go do what you got to do. But there's, I think, an easier way. I think there's an easier way, and it's through what we do best. Put out our intent and frequency in a positive way.
Yeah, and if the folks are really seriously about the saving the planet and new ideas, then where are they? You know, we've offered the table to them. We've offered to sit down with everybody and share all the research that we've done all these years. But they're too busy out there thinking they're going to get the man to do the job. Well, look, these folks, first off, you got to understand, petrol dollar means just that. You're not going to get rid of fossil fuel as long as the dollar bill is propped by it. Gasoline, diesel, whatever. There's a lot of money in what they call fossil fuels. I don't even need to get into it. It gets me all riled up. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to get them to stop. They make too much money. They're gonna tell you we need to do this. They've been saying we need to do this for a long time. We need to get energy independent. We need to be finding new, clean, renewable sources. Man, it's all a lie. You know, I do the Mad Science Show because it makes me mad to see the evidence right there before your very eyes. The same people who are out there protesting Save the Planet. Imagine if all those people, instead of wasting their energy out there trying to lobby somebody who ain't going to change their ways, come together and we all got things done. We got prototypes out there for people to be able to have home generating systems that work in harmony with nature. It is doable. We could succeed in it so fast if we pulled our resources, if we pulled our minds together. You've got enough energy to get a couple hundred people or maybe even a couple thousand people out there in the street to holler about the orange man being bad. Run around with helium balloons that make it look like the Trump with the baby diaper on and stuff. What's that proven? He's still president. He'd probably get reelected. What did you do? You wasted your doggone money paying somebody who manufactured that doggone blow-up doll that you was out there proudly displaying, looking like a fool. And what did you accomplish? Yeah, Pelosi said he's impeached forever. Yay, he's impeached forever. Didn't matter the facts, didn't matter how he got there. They hated him so much, they just had to do it. But when the veil is lifted and all these criminals and the roaches come crawling out underneath the woodwork, when the light comes on and the people see the reality, they're not going to be too happy about it. And so when the truth is finally told, you know, then all that arguing that you did in the past, a lot of people, the word, I guess they say, you'll have to eat some crow. Nonetheless, it don't matter. It's all coming out. It's all coming out in the wash one way or another. We'll find out the truth. But in the meantime, we're wasting time fighting amongst each other. And just, we think we know it all. We honestly think that we got the truth, and our truth is better than your truth. And so we're going to sit there and argue it at each other. I can't even tell you how many times I sat around and talked science with people. And I studied science. I paid attention in science class, and I tried to explain to them, but their head was stuck in the book. That was all they knew. They weren't going to hear any other part of it. They kept telling me why it was I was wrong. And I asked them, I said, did you try it? No, because it ain't going to work. Well, how are you going to know if you ain't tried it? Because it ain't going to work, is all they could say. That's not going to get us anywhere, folks. You know, I asked the question, is it too good to be true? Well, it's for us to keep our eyes up to find out. We're not going to know until we get to the end of this road whether or not, you know, the guy in the office is a good guy, or whether or not the criminals are actually going to, you know, go to jail, same way you would have went to jail. There's people in jail for smoking dope that have been in jail longer than other people who'd committed worse crimes. People who had embezzled money from 401ks and so on down the line. And people sitting in jail for smoking a little bit of weed. You think about that. You think about the for-profit prisons. You think about every time you go out there and protest in the street, somebody's getting paid. Somebody's making them signs. Somebody's selling the paper and the wood for you to stand out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. Somebody's making money. And they're doing it at your expense. You know, what do they call them? Useful idiots, Patty?
It's a shame. Yes, yes.
It's a shame. I just don't know what else to say that we ain't already said so many times. Wake up, folks. Keep your eyes peeled. Step back. Get all the information. Don't look down on somebody because they got a little bit different story than you, because if you actually take the terminology, they're saying the same doggone thing. They're just saying it a little bit different. And you might not agree with it. But does that mean you got the answer? Unless you were directly from the Creator themselves, and you ain't got the big picture yet. We're still learning. We're still in the game. Anyway, we're down to the wire, and it looks like Barbara already peeled out. I think she went to dinner or something.
Yes, she had to go to dinner, and she said to, well, I think she said in the chat that she enjoyed the show, and thank you guys for being there. Yep.
Well, you got any last words of wisdom for folks?
Well, I'd just say, you know, don't let the fear get a hold of you. Don't, if you want to do something, if you're afraid in any way, then start doing something. Sit down and decide, what can I do to make myself not as afraid? If, like with this virus thing, there are safeguards that you can take. And you can go online and do the information. Do whatever it is to ease your mind. But just know that this is the era in which we are right now. The fear era, and we got to get control of that. We've got to not be reactionary. We have got to sit back. Again, I'm not preaching. This is just the way I see it. We need to sit back and look at this in terms of how are we going to make change here, and how are we going to make ourselves step out of that fear, because that's what we need to do at this time. And just love everybody. I love the show, Shaziz. Even on a Friday, I love this show. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I do too. It's like I just enjoy having everybody together and talking about these things. Sometimes we preach into the choir because everybody out there understands what's going on. But then again, sometimes the different ways that you can say will put out different perspectives on the deal. I like what you're saying about making yourself strong and getting yourself, take care of yourself first. Get yourself healthy. Get yourself as spiritually grounded somehow. Just whatever you can do to make yourself strong. And then when you get your second wind and you're ready to get in there and roll up your sleeves and help every one of your brothers and sisters get something done, you go out there and you think about all the different projects that are in your community. You go out there and you share that with other people. There's nothing we can't accomplish. And we don't need to try to overthrow the system. We can just let them keep on doing what they're doing and keep on doing what we're doing. Eventually, our system's going to look so much better than theirs. And people usually gravitate towards that which is good for them. When they see the things that you've accomplished, that's all the proof that they need. It's like all these free energy devices out there. You put it on the table, irrefutable, in front of everyone, where there's no way that nobody can deny it or hide it or suppress it any longer, and the world changes. It's exactly what that doggone grasshopper said in The Bug's Life. Those ants outnumber us 100 to 1 is what he said. And when they figure that out, there goes our way of life. We the people are the majority. And we the people were supposed to be the ones that were in control. We held the power. In a lot of countries, you don't have a constitution like we here in the United States have. That's why I'm saying here in the United States, I feel like we're the last beacon of hope as far as freedom goes. For whatever you think of that piece of paper on a wall, I know that ain't where my rights and where my freedom came from. But I can tell you one thing, that piece of paper right there is the last line in the sand that shall not be crossed. And if our government chooses to do so, that piece of paper basically told us, we have the obligation, the duty, to change that government. And since we can't get enough people to understand that, then the only thing we can do is try to lead by example and show people what's possible. And eventually, those ripples will reach across the entire world. I know we're seeing results from every show that we've done, every word we've spoken. I know we've seen results. I see people building stuff that I've been talking about years ago when people were telling me I was nuts about it. If I was nuts back then, why is it working now? That's my question. I got my talents, you got your talents. Everybody's got a gift. Regardless of whether you think it or even know what that gift is, I'm telling you, you look in the mirror like Patty just told you, you're the miracle you've been waiting for. You're the hero that you've been waiting for. You take that to the bank because that's worth something. In the meantime, if there's anything on this show at all that you are inspired by or you think is going to help somebody else out, please share these podcasts. We post the links, share them with somebody else. You can download those things too. You can rebroadcast them. You can cut out the sections that you want. Best of Shaziz and Patty Show, or Best of Barbara and Patty Show, whatever. But the whole thing is to keep that positive flow going out. That's what you can do. That's how you can fix this world. didn't get messy, you know, overnight. It's not going to get cleaned up overnight. But every step we make, every smooth paving stone that we set down for our children and their children is going to make their world so much better. So what we do today is definitely going to define the world that they live in tomorrow. That's the mission for the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks, Patty. And Barbara, if you're listening in later, love you. Hope you enjoyed your dinner. Take care, buddy.
Love you, too.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship.
a self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights are around the table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights are around the table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Right. Hey, hey, hey. King Sir Zeus the Terrible. King Sir Zeus the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.